Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this?
You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Here they are.
Oh, no.
Some of the various executives now standing up and saying, we knew nothing about what was going on.
No, it's a cover-up. It's a conspiracy at the Super Bowl.
I've got an interesting theory, but hold on a second.
True story. He was a neo-Nazi with one true enemy. Himself, a man of faith. A man of faith and his soul torn apart.
Right.
Viewer discretion advised.
Just be wack.
That's pretty, isn't it?
Yeah.
And good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Groundhog Day!
Groundhog Day!
Oh, hold on, yeah, hold on, I wanted to make sure, yes. Oh, first, everybody, you should have said rabbit, rabbit, rabbit yesterday, but you're on your own for that one.
Is this Groundhog Day?
It is. Yes, it is. And today they had the annual ceremony. Janet Jackson saw her right breast.
Yes.
Six more weeks away. Thank you. I wrote that one myself.
Very good. Very
Thank
clever,
you.
Boys.
Thank you.
They would like to apologize in advance for any wardrobe malfunctions. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Hi, listen.
Thank you.
Listen to the Don and Mike Show. It is what is on your radio right now. And it's 020204
Monday.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Buzz Burbank here.
Howdy, Buzz.
Hi.
We're back.
We're back from the Super Bowl. Made it back from Houston. Made it back from Houston. Here's your number to call us, 877-365-3636. That's from anywhere in America. We're
what a city.
We're on a regional coast-to-coast network here. From Canada, 800-636-1067. Washington, D.C. on WJFK, 202-432-1067. Your calls, of course, welcome at any time, as long as they're of an exotic, entertaining, somewhat exciting.
Or if you're calling from Houston.
Relevant.
Yeah, and if you got something to say that has something to do with what we're talking about, call.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, just wait for the rotating a random phone scan. I got so much. I had such a weekend at the Super Bowl. Actually spent time with a real-life Hollywood celebrity.
A megastar. Wow.
A real one, a big one, and then we've got the game, and we've got the
this stuff. This is the big one?
The stuff that happened at the Super Bowl, and listen, first...
Our luxury dinner together.
First, let's just get to this. Right here.
Yeah.
Have to.
This is a nipple.
Yes, it is.
We got the picture.
It is not a pasty.
No.
This is a nipple.
That's right.
Janet Jackson, last night.
It's a very elaborate nipple ring.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it is, Mike. Now, someone told me that it wasn't a nipple ring. Someone told me what it was earlier. I wrote it down.
It's darned attractive is what it is.
Someone told me that it was a nipple shield for pierced nipples.
Yeah, okay.
And when you look at the picture... And you go to MTV or any of the sites that still have the picture up,
mm-hmm.
You see what Justin Timberlake has pulled aside.
Well, it shows darn pretty is what it is.
Shows a big, beautiful, brown, chocolate brown breast
uh-huh.
with a gigantic areola, a silver dollar-sized areola.
Right. And the nipple shield in the shape of like a solstice thing, a sun.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and it is all... nipple
yeah.
that is showing through, and you can actually, if you have the picture, Buzz, why don't you explain
it's
this?
A lovely nipple.
How you do this, how you click on, it was like very much like CSI watching Buzz with this picture. You click on and click on and click on.
Yeah, just kept zooming in and blowing it up bigger and bigger, and we got a very, very close look at Janet's nipple, and as Mike described, it's a sun,
right.
But there's a hole in the middle of it, and that hole fits very snugly around the nipple itself.
Obviously custom-made jewelry.
The rays of the sun covering up most of the areola.
And the picture is so distinct that you can see an actual spot, a slit, as it were, in her navel, or rather in her nipple. There's a slit in her nipple. Take a look, Mike, where I guess she could put her decorative, baubles on.
Right.
Because she's got pierced nipples.
You can see every...
So not only does she... Yeah, you're right. And I'm looking at this closer now. Not only does she have the nipple shield, but she also has a stud
that's running through the nipple. Probably, it looks like, to secure the nipple shield. Pardon me while I really look at this closely. And also, this is a garment, as you see the snaps underneath her breast.
Yeah.
This is a garment that is designed to have that tear away.
To be opened, yes.
You know, needless to think this was some sort of mistake.
Who wears a leather bustier that has, like, a NBA pull-off pants?
Breast cups that open.
Over the breast.
Right.
You know, I find it a little disturbing the way Mike is studying that picture, but I feel I should point out that the breast was on television for 38 frames of video.
That's
what I was able to find in my lab.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, listen, it's...
She's pretty.
It's great. I think we're all in agreement that, of course, it was 100% planned. Mm-hmm. It happened right in the middle of his ultra-gay song about, I'm going to take your clothes off, you're going to be naked by the time this song is over.
Mm-hmm. Had to be planned.
I know that down in Houston, they kept promoting on local TV that there would be a surprise guest at the Super Bowl.
I got a question. Yeah, well, no,
I'm looking at this picture.
And obviously it's not Justin Timberlake, it's her boob.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm looking at this picture and I'm thinking, do you think if he ripped off the other one that would have been like a bra type thing underneath there, that red? See this red up on top? And I'm wondering whether maybe the mistake was that he went to the wrong side.
No, there was red.
But why would she have that ornate thing?
Mike, there was red on the top of the one that
of the other one
as well.
Right.
It was preordained. We know that.
Of
it's
course.
Okay. It's a show. Here's the part that gets creepy.
Yeah.
The fact that I hate to make everything end up here on the Don and Mike show, but it is like everything with us is like the 6 degrees of separation.
Right.
With Kevin Bacon. It was just a couple of weeks ago that the NFL complained and had a problem with the fact that we were going to have naked women singing on the radio.
They said they don't like the nudity.
Now, they're covering their ass here, but this is a beautiful bit of CYA, and you just got to hear me out on this for a second. I think we're all in agreement. It was great.
Mm-hmm.
We're all in agreement that it was absolutely 100% thought about in advance. This thing was planned out. This was not spontaneous. Here's how the response came out last night once this thing got on TV. All the muckety-mucks, they get on the phone and they call their local CBS TV stations.
Right.
We can't believe this. We've just seen Janet Jackson's teeth on television.
Right.
Okay, now someone calls from CBS to whoever's at the game to say, uh-oh, you know, hey, that thing with her teeth, we get a lot of phone calls about that.
Yeah, they did.
NFL says, uh-oh, we get a lot of phone calls. NFL puts out a statement saying, the NFL says this is awful.
Right.
We didn't know that this was going to happen. And furthermore, that evil TRL, they're never going to be associated with us again.
Yeah, I mean, MTV, we're very disappointed in MTV for this production.
They had the press release out at 10:18 last night. The game ended.
Right.
What was it? 10 o'clock, something like that?
Yeah, 10 o'clock.
So within a half hour radius, they had that out. CBS then, at 10:28 last night, came out with their statement saying, we had no idea that this was going to happen.
Right.
We apologize. You know, this is beyond our control. We had no idea. Today, as late as before I came to work, I went to MTV.com, where they proudly said, look what we did at the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they're excited about it. Yeah.
Look at this. Hey, MTV promised you the most exciting, memorable Super Bowl halftime show ever, and we delivered. Now, so what's the big deal about this, you're wondering? I'll explain this to you in the world of corporate synergy.
Here we go, synergy.
Here's where it just don't make sense.
Yeah, something's not right.
Mm-hmm.
NFL is pissed, allegedly, because Janet Jackson showed her teat on TV.
Right.
CBS says, we had no idea. We are horrified by this.
Mm-hmm.
MTV says, hey, this was great. We told you we'd do it. Here's what maybe you don't know. CBS owns MTV.
Right.
Right.
Viacom is MTV.
It's all the
Viacom
same company.
Is Infinity Broadcasting. Viacom is CBS Television.
You got it?
The only thing Viacom doesn't own in this little equation is the NFL.
Right, and
other than that,
and they're working on that.
Sure,
but that's where this whole thing really falls apart. Where you see,
right,
it was premeditated, and why not just stand up and say it was premeditated? God It was a great Super Bowl. It was a boring as hell first half. I didn't think any of the commercials were worth jackass.
A lot of disappointment except in the commercials.
Except for the one where the guy's dog bites the other guy's.
Okay, well, that's you, Mike.
I just love the crotch biting. I laughed out loud. I showed my teeth. Unhinged my jaw in that commercial.
That's you, but you know, without the Janet Jackson teeth, you know.
Says I'm dumb.
And a pretty good second half. It ended up being a memorable Super Bowl.
It certainly did. It was a memorable game. Finally, a great football game. It was lots of fun to watch.
But so funny today that nobody's talking about the game. Nobody's talking about, you know, nobody's even doing the whole the Super Bowl commercial recap thing. Everybody's talking about her teeth.
The breast.
And everybody wants to talk about it without saying exactly what it is. Okay. We've got the picture here. Now, here's the real...
You don't think that she knew that breast was going to be shown to the world? Look, she's got that breast all prettied up. She dressed it up. Yeah.
Here's the real test of corporate synergy. Could we put that picture, which was broadcast on CBS television last night in coordination with MTV, could we put that picture on WJFK.com?
No. I'm
Why?
Guessing no. Because of the, because they don't put nudity of any kind on that website.
But it's okay to put it on the TV network.
Yeah, see, but they'll tell you. Yeah, what is MTV saying? That we planned
Buzz,
this?
did you go to MTV.com?
I haven't right now.
Go there right now and tell me what it says right now.
You're saying, hey, we put on a great show. It's definitely fun
now,
to track
now
this
they,
down.
They didn't show, when I went to MTV.com, you have to go like to drudgereport.com to find the picture of the exposed teat and nipple. On MTV.com, they have pictures where they're dancing suggestively and little scrolling below it says, like, Janet knows where her hands are going. And the next one where they were bumping and grinding, something like, Justin's making his move. And it reads something like, we promised you. Are you there, Buzz?
Yeah, I am. I'm going to the story called, and it's the only thing I found, it's called MTV Apologizes for Super Bowl Shocker.
Oh, yeah. This is new.
They've changed their spin now.
Hold on. This has all happened. What time did I leave my house today? Like before, I left my house before 1 o'clock,
right?
The East Coast time. So this is
new now.
Within 2 hours.
All right. What do they say, Buzz? They say the tearing of Janet Jackson's costume.
The tearing
was unrehearsed, unplanned, and completely unintentional. And
if that's the case, how come someone doesn't arrest Justin Timberlake for sexual assault?
And was inconsistent with assurances we had about the content of the performance. MTV regrets this incident occurred, and we apologize to anyone who was offended by it.
Wow, they've changed it.
What happened is exactly what you said happened.
God damn, this
somebody
is why.
Somebody got back up to the top and said, hey, this is going down. You better.
And I was sitting at the computer, I swear to Christ, looking at this thinking, should I print this out? Nah, this has been up all day. This has been up all day. There have to be other people that have gone.
Somebody finally, somebody got the troops in line.
Because they had a photo gallery where you could click on, and I know they had 11 photos.
Right.
Some of them of dumb Kid Rock. Some of them of...
Was that the surprise?
Was
Justin Timberlake the surprise?
No, I maintain her breast was the surprise.
Well, Jessica Simpson was the last minute ad, but she didn't do anything.
Right.
Really.
You know, and what they're asking us to believe is that inadvertent tear was vinyl. You know how easy it is to tear vinyl?
Yeah, exactly.
It's sort of a sturdy fabric, as it were.
Well, if you look at this picture, as I've been staring at for a while, Rob, you will see that's a snap. That's a snap right there. Don, you've seen that too.
Yeah,
that's a snap right in it. That's a tearaway.
It was made to come off.
Breakaway clothing with a decorated nipple. That was no accident.
Right. Listen, why don't we all just celebrate the fact that they got one over on everybody? Good for everybody. CBS should be celebrating this.
Are we supposed to believe that now this goes down to Justin and Janet, that they arranged this and didn't tell anybody? Is that what they're all spinning this now to be?
Here's the thing. I've never gotten...
Justin's issued an apology, sort of. It's lame, but he's apologizing. Nothing from Janet.
Here's why it doesn't hurt them.
It doesn't hurt them at all. Never will.
He's the white Michael Jackson, except he doesn't touch kids, but he doesn't sell as many records as he used to, so it's good for him. And her, she's just probably trying to do anything to take attention away from the fact that her brother is a kid toucher.
Yeah, maybe now that when you say it that way, I'm wondering maybe that's not the best way to do that.
Maybe
but,
not the best way.
Probably
yeah.
not
but
the best.
Yeah.
But you know what? You know what? She's not sold as many records as she used to either. Right, and she's got a new, new CD coming out.
It doesn't hurt either one of them. It doesn't. No, and, yeah, but I, you know, someday, you know, this is the type of thing you'll never know what the real story is. Right. You can theorize all day
we
long.
We know the story. That it was planned in
somebody
advance.
Somebody planned it, yeah.
And now it's that whole
thing. Yeah, but I'm just saying. I mean, nobody will ever come out and admit that.
Right.
Well, maybe somebody will at some point.
That'd be
hopefully.
Nice. That'd be nice. Yeah. You know, I mean, somebody 60 years old.
If you
somebody, you know, 40 years from now, is like, yeah, we did it.
If it was
all by design.
If there's anybody out there that happened to be on MTV.com, you know, anything, even
this morning,
2 hours
night.
Ago, if you saw it and wrote it down or saw it transcribed, you got to call in with the verbiage because...
And then, of course, the streaker that wasn't televised.
Yeah,
so, right.
some guy in a thong. Now, why wouldn't you at least give us a shot of him?
Because
for a
the
second.
British own that. The British like that. They show the guy on British television.
Yeah. They do.
They don't show it on American television. And it sounded to me, from what I read about it, well, Charlie was there. He saw it.
Uh-huh.
It sounded to me as though this guy did that similar type of thing that British guy does,
yeah.
Which is funny as hell. He does it. He stood on the field and he did a little like goofy dance
promoting
wearing a G-string.
Promoting a website.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you see, what's funny is they won't show that, but they will show Greg Gumbel about to burst his jacket.
That's not right.
You've always hated Greg Gumbel, Rob.
No, he's hated me.
And, you know, the whole, here's the thought. Aerosmith is great. I thought their version
They're fantastic. They're still fantastic.
I thought that Steven Tyler, just his vocals on Dream On were better than I'd heard in a long time.
And I will tell you, it looks like Steven Tyler finally maybe took a little trip to the surgeon. A lot of people were saying that last night.
Are you not,
like,
though?
It really looks like, you know, he was a little craggy. He always looks good for a guy that age and still rocking. But I'll tell you right now, it looks like he went and got
well, at first I looked at him and
some
I
work done.
My first thought was, oh god, they're wearing like NSYNC uniforms, but then I realized that it was like some NASA tribute thing that they were doing, and then once they started to play, it was good, and Dream On was good, and then
it was the best music to video, I mean music to picture ratio that I've ever heard.
Then you got the halftime show, and aside from Janet Jackson's teat, I didn't know if they were singing or lip-syncing.
Looked like lip-syncing.
What was P. Diddy doing out there? Doesn't he make clothes now?
Yeah, well, he does a little of everything.
He's not a song maker anymore.
He's a triple threat, Don.
I have a theory, and I think you all, after spending some time in Houston, will agree. There are 5 P. Diddy's. And they're everywhere you look.
And
if you watch the show, and
Rob, stop that. You are stereotyping. Get out of here. Just say that all the time. Everywhere you go, you say, that man looks like Sean Combs.
Yes, absolutely.
Diddy helpers like Santa.
The guy that I still can't figure is Kid Rock. Yeah. Now, and I had this
like
discussion.
Figure in what? In general? Why he's where he is?
Yeah. Frida said to me last night, do you know any Kid Rock songs? And I said, hold on a second. And he did like 30 seconds of that one. I'm a cowboy. And I said to her, you know that one, don't you?
I know that duet he does with Sheryl Crow. I like that.
That's what I said to Frida. I said, what he's done is, I guess I admire him, that he appears to be someone who has no negligible talent whatsoever, yet he's managed to...
He's seriously fugly.
But
chicks seem to dig his style.
He's the pitch guy for the beer that sponsors the NFL, so he's in all those commercials. He's ingratiated that way. Mm-hmm. Then he does the song with Sheryl Crow.
He's a professional celebrity.
Then he also does a song with a rapper.
Right.
And then he does a song with a country singer.
Yeah.
So it's like he doesn't do any real... He did that one song. Anyway, what the hell is he doing there?
Mm-hmm.
What... Why is
or
he
anywhere
there?
For that matter?
I agree.
Yeah,
but you know, I'll tell you why he's where he is. Because guys don't like him, women do.
I don't get it.
I don't get it either. But women dig him.
Teach us.
I don't understand.
Hold on. Here's a guy who says you can get the MTV website back to the way it was. How could that possibly be? Hey, Rick. Hey Rick, how could you get MTV.com back the way it was?
Well, actually, the website that you guys went to, what you were looking at, there's a history of where you went to. And the website that you were on.
Oh, so I have to do it on my computer.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah. But if you go back on your computer, you should be able to go on to the website and you should be able to go in your history.
Print out their statement, and that would be interesting tomorrow. If you know, right?
Maybe I could do it today. Maybe I'll have my wife do it. And
that'd be great.
And fax it in today.
See what they were saying earlier today.
Yeah, because I've done it before where I've gone back to websites that it shows the website that you were on. It shows the articles
right.
And everything like that.
All right, thank you, my friend. Hey, good, there you go. Hold on. Happy Groundhog Day.
Groundhog Day!
You've won. Listen to this. You're a good caller. You've won a pajamagram. Why not be sensual with your mom,
your grandmother?
Grandmother.
Uh-huh.
Perhaps your great grandma, Nina, Nina, whatever people call them.
Oh, all
Nana. Anyway, they all look good in a sexy pajamagram. For any occasion, call 1-800-GIVE-PJs or shop online at pajamagram.com.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. It's that time of year once again. We are going to be giving away and talking about pajamagrams.
They're a network sponsor, and we love them. I know there are some of our sponsors.
And they love our stuff, and we love the fact that they love our stuff. Love, love, love.
Mm-hmm. That we don't dig, but there are some that we do, and that's one that we do. So Janet Jackson's teeth.
I'm sending her a pajamagram.
With snaps.
I was talking to a guy today. I'm at Exxon filling with gas. I had to go in to get the last bottle of the windshield stuff, the blue stuff.
Right. Right.
So the guy knows that I do the show, and he starts talking to me, and he says, "Are you going to be talking about Janet Jackson's teeth?" I said, "Well, of course we are. We got the pictures." He said, "Just really upset him." And I said, "What was it?" The guy's name is Greg, and I said, "Well, what are you, a fag?"
Come on, Greg.
And he said, "No, it took away from the game."
Oh,
that
God's sake!
He's one of these guys.
Up.
He's one of these guys. And I said to him, "Listen, man, 2 days from now, people aren't going to remember this. Just let it go."
Yeah.
He said, "But it was such a great game."
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people are forgetting it was a great game. And then I got into discussion.
Wow.
I got into discussion with him while I'm filling up because, you know, these days you can stand there for a good 10 minutes while the thing just... And I had an exceedingly slow pump.
Mm-hmm.
The one where it's going... and you look up and you think it should be full and it's got like 1.1 gallon in it.
Well, actually what they do with those pumps, I don't know if you're aware of this, they program them to work slower as soon as the temperature goes below 25 degrees. Just so you can be more uncomfortable.
For fun.
So he starts having a discussion with me about how it was the greatest Super Bowl ever. And I said, "Well, you know, all of that is debatable, and everybody, opinions are like a-holes, everybody has one." I said, "I tell you this, for about the first quarter and a half, I'd say it was the worst game I ever saw. No score, no nothing."
I think if you live anywhere besides New England or Carolina, you know, I was with a very large group of people, and it was just, it was there was no energy in that game.
Outside of your love for that one commercial, I couldn't find
one. No, the commercial sucked in general. I mean, I really. And you know why I laughed at that one? Because it was what I didn't expect. Was that would be the only one I would laugh at.
Mm.
And it was the very first commercial. I said, "Hey, if this is the starting point, then it's going to be A-OK." Because, you know, kind of caught me by surprise.
Right.
And then they just said, what was the deal with the Cadillac, like underwater or something like that?
And then they had the one where you saw the guy drive and you thought something's wrong with your TV because you got no sound. And then 15 seconds later, they gave you the... That guy,
right.
That goes, whoa. That the first time that happened, I thought my TV was broken.
Wow.
I really did. I liked the Homer Simpson one.
I tell you, the pregame show that was all Nance.
Oh,
I mean, I think Nance had a real big hand in all of those.
And
there was an awful lot of melodrama.
Sure. And you know, Nance
Friends. If you had a dime for every time he said Friends,
Friends
we're back. Friends, welcome back to Houston. There was a great moment.
I mean, honestly, God, you get Dick Enberg and Jim Nance up there talking to each other about the space shuttle, and I mean, there's more maple syrup coming out of the TV than you'll ever get in your life.
It was fun watching Jim Nance fight the battle of baldness, and I can say this because
there was
a good moment when it was after the game. They were sitting, the Nance and his friends were sitting at that table there.
Nance and Friends.
And
which is what they're going to change the game to next year.
While they're having this discussion and people are obviously talking in their ears.
Right, right.
Anyway, someone starts throwing stuff at Jim Nance.
I saw that.
Now, they cut to a taped piece.
Uh-huh.
And when they came back to the taped piece, Nance, who obviously didn't know he was on camera. Yeah, Buzz on.
Yeah.
He's pointing up there. He's not saying anything.
That's the guy up there. That's the guy up there that threw his Slurpee at me.
He was almost out of his chair, pointing up wildly after
now,
somebody threw like a paper wad at him.
That is nonverbal, like we can only tell you. I only had, I watched most of it starting at about 2 o'clock. Mm-hmm. I only had two highlights from the whole game.
Okay.
Now, there was some stuff that we could have pulled from the tape that would be funny just to us, because CBS is our network, and it's the biggest game of the year.
Sure.
And nobody bothered to figure out that when you get inside the stadium, if you're going to turn on Greg Gumbel's microphone so that everybody in the stadium can hear him and it's going to be on those gigantic speakers,
sure.
You're going to get feedback, and you're going to get major feedback where it was like, introducing the Carolina Panthers. And nobody ever bothered
to do anything about it. You don't need to do a sound check.
I didn't keep that tape. I did keep this, though, because there was a portion after the game when Bryant Gumbel was discussing his fascination.
Greg Gumbel, you mean?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Well, and his brother Bryant, that they were both in a club. I think it's the GSBs. The Golden Shower Broadcasters.
Really?
And here is what Greg Gumbel had to say about one of their meetings.
It's raining yellow.
I heard that.
That's what he said. What?
It's so, raining yellow. What the hell was he really talking about?
Well, it's raining yellow.
Penalty flags, but out of context.
Yes. Raining yellow.
It's raining yellow.
Wow. Sounded odd. If you catch anything,
yeah.
I said, okay, well,
it's raining yellow.
I wrote it down.
And it was followed up by another very smart Phil Simms remark, like, yes.
Yes.
And then the only
uncomfortable, yeah.
The only other thing that I had that I thought was worthwhile to bring in today was one of the disclaimers for one of the new penis pills.
Ah, very good. Excellent. Cialis, right?
Here's the short one that had the part that I thought was the most interesting.
All right.
Erections lasting longer than 4 hours, though rare, require immediate medical help.
Now, so if you got a boner for over 4 hours,
yeah, I'd like to hear that again, please.
Here is the full disclaimer. It's only 4 seconds longer. Here you go.
The most common side effects were headache, upset stomach, delayed backache, or muscle ache. Erections lasting longer than 4 hours, though rare, require immediate medical help.
Yeah, you got a problem
again. That's where I'm sitting.
And please don't walk to the doctor.
I'm sitting with my wife, and I said, "Did you just hear that? They just said if you had a stiffy for 4 hours, you should go to the doctor."
Yes.
Well, no S. You should either rub one out and get to the doctor right away.
I don't mind the throbbing, but I don't like the aching.
If you're walking around with wood.
Erections lasting longer than 4 hours, though rare, require immediate medical help.
So are they saying that
it's raining yellow?
You know, are they saying that if it's like 3.5 hours, it's okay?
Erections lasting longer than 4 hours, though rare, require immediate medical help.
Well, there'll be no permanent damage, probably, under 4 hours. You know, I had this thing started at 8 o'clock, honey, and it's coming up on 11:30. You know, at midnight, I think I'm going to go see the doctor.
You got 30 more good minutes, though.
That's the reason why Phil Simms wasn't in the postgame.
Make it the best 4 hours of your life.
One more call. We have time for one call. Joe, and then we got to take a break. Joe, hi.
Hey, how you doing, Don and Mike?
We're doing great.
Hey, I had one comment about, you were talking about Jim Nance and how boring he is. At one point in the pregame show, he had mentioned he had paused and didn't say anything, and he said, well, we're just letting the moment take care of itself. And I think it was Boomer. I think Boomer's the wise ass of the group. He spoke up and said, yeah, that's what you're really well known for, and just let him run some dead air time.
I thought it was a lovely story.
Is this Tom? Tom Shales?
No.
This is not Tom Shales, noted television critic.
Love your work in the Post.
That's okay.
Wonderful. Thanks so much.
Bye. Thanks.
Thanks, okay, Tom.
Bye-bye.
But he had said that there was a pause, and then he said the thing to say. And what? Hey, how about your whatnot boy, though?
It's raining yellow.
The quarterback for the Panthers?
Jake DeLome. Anybody?
I heard him today, and he had another whatnot. Yeah, you know, we're upset and whatnot.
He had four or five of the post game.
He does whatnot.
There was,
you were so right on when you said that, because he did it 50 times yesterday.
We're coming down the field, and 9 times out of 10, Steven will make a run, or Musama will make a, or whatnot. And we get down by the end zone, and we've got four or five basic plays, but most of them are run, but with Steven and whatnot.
He says whatnot more than anybody. They would have won that Super Bowl if he hadn't said whatnot.
It's raining yellow.
Very un-Brady-like.
We'll be right back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Don't do.
Don't do.
Don't do. the same old thing for VD. The Valentine's Day.
That's correct.
The flowers won't last. The candy, nice dinner, will make you fat. Stuffed animal will end up in a garage sale.
I've got a better idea. Go to Singular and give the gift you'll both use. A cool new phone from Singular to keep you and your CGRW. I forgot again. Connected.
Because you want to stay connected with her.
Yep.
The Motorola V400 is only $999. I did this on Thursday, too.
Because there are too many nines.
It's only $99.99.
It's a great price, but Jesus.
After a $100 mail-in rebate and a two-year service agreement, this is a great price for a great phone. How about someone just pitches Singular on the fact that we just come on and say, it's a good service, it's a cheap service. Call 1-866-SINGULAR, log on to singular.com, or go to any Singular wireless phone. Don't bother us with these names and numbers.
1 or 2 year contract request, you had a Singular wireless store for details. Singular wireless, part of the
Right, 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 right.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Come on, everyone. That 80's enough reunion show is about to start.
Oh, Mary, have you seen Nicholas?
He's up in his room sulking, Dad.
Yeah, he's still upset because Abby threw out his baseball cards.
Oh, well, maybe I should make him a sandwich.
Oh, Dad, that's your solution to everything.
Dad! Dad!
What?
8 is enough.
You know, I love you girls.
Yeah, hello, Rob. It's Dick Van Patten. I get back next Saturday night. So I see you'll be here Sunday, the 19th, I guess, right? The 20th. So I guess I could see you today, guys, then, on the 20th. If I have to leave again on Monday. Okay, let me know how we can work this out. I go back to Salt Lake City tomorrow. But I'll be home today. Bye-bye now.
The Don and Mike Show. No stinky poon. The Don and Mike Show.
Right, right. And we got some Janet Jackson here.
Here we go.
And there's so many pictures on the internet.
Yeah. She gave us a lot of pleasure.
A lot of pleasure. Justin Timberlake, he might look like one and sing like one. He's no homo, though. Look at that thing. Look at him just staring at
her.
Yeah,
he's digging that look.
He's just looking right down. Look what I just pulled off. Wow. Nice.
Look at you. Look at you. You're so sexy. I'm getting a Woody just looking at you.
Erections lasting longer than 4 hours, though rare, require immediate medical help.
doctor, please.
Give me the news.
Never mind. I got something, but I'd have to use a dirty word.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not funny with initials like D or C or...
Doctor, give me the news. I got 4 hours of wood for you.
See, yeah, very good. Thank you, Mike.
Well done. I'd throw something in there.
Okay, so much stuff to cover. Survivor, I guess we'll get to that in a second. The trip back, I know Mike's got some stuff on that. I know Rob's got an issue. I want to discuss something with my wife. She was really great with me hooking up the television over the telephone on Sunday morning while I was still down in Houston. Hey, Robbie, this will lead into my Super Bowl celebrity sighting. When you guys were still down there as
right.
of Saturday morning,
right.
they were running crawls on the bottom of the screen during the news
mm-hmm.
with celebrity sightings. Now, I remembered one. Let's see how many you can remember.
Okay.
They had, for instance, on the bottom of the screen,
right.
it said, Madonna spotted at the Galleria, which is a shopping mall.
I was at the Galleria, and I did not see Madonna.
Then there was one that said, Beyonce spotted at the Toyota Center, which is where the basketball team plays. And then the next one said...
I was at the Toyota Center playing basketball.
And then the next one said, Gary Berghoff...
Radar?
Oh, man. ...spotted at Super Target.
Of course.
Well, you know how they spotted him.
Ow.
They had a radar detector.
There you go.
He's here all week.
Please do not forget Kato Kaelin spotted one of the showgirls
at
bars.
At a beauty bar.
Yeah.
So, up until at least Friday night or Saturday, this whole hype machine in Houston for the Super Bowl was all the celebrities
right.
that are coming
right.
to town. And we don't broadcast to Houston, and it's a good thing we don't today because they wouldn't like hearing this. It seems like a nice enough city.
Uh-huh.
It has a real problem, an internal problem.
Really?
The people there realize that the city sucks. And it's okay for them.
It's got an image problem with its own citizens.
Yes. It does. I spent some time late on Saturday night in a bar with a gentleman who works for the Houston Chronicle,
mm-hmm.
who looked at all my, by that time I'd collected party passes and media credentials that were hanging around my neck, and like a dumb rapper with all these things hanging around my neck. And the guy said to me, looks at me and goes, it's got my real name on there. You know, it's got...
Michael Soares.
Right. So he goes, Mike, media...
What do you do?
I said, radio, CBS, Westwood One, Washington, D.C., so-and-so from the Houston Chronicle. The guy started talking to me, said, how do you like the town? And I hear that, I got that from a lot of people on Saturday night.
How do you like Houston?
When I was going to these parties. And this guy, I said, yeah, it's okay. He said, and this is a quote, you should have seen it 6 weeks ago. He said, 6 weeks ago, this town went on a mission to clean up.
Companies coming.
To clean up this 12-block area of downtown. He said if you go down Main Street, which is one of the main drags, I guess that's why they call it Main Street.
And right.
He said all of the buildings were painted in the last 10 days.
Painting over the dirt.
There were new faux fronts put on all of these window treatments and all this stuff that wasn't there.
Sweeping stuff under the carpet.
Mm-hmm. They moved all the homeless people out. Yes. They over the period of 10 days, got all the homeless people, I guess, who are down there all the time, and got them out of there. And he said...
Go on, shoo!
He said that the citizens of Houston, the people that live there, are pissed off because they get in their cars and go downtown, and they say, wow, this looks really great, but it's temporary.
Yeah, they're putting on a little show, and then it goes back to being a rat hole again.
Yeah, which it truly was. Houston was just the rattiest of rat holiest.
And I think you should share the good news for Super Bowl attendees about Houston. One of the problems we all had in Houston was it was a $60 cab ride from where I was staying to the airport.
That's not an exaggeration.
No, not at all.
Absolutely.
And about an almost a $40-$45 cab ride to get from the hotel to where we broadcast down at the convention center. Right. And what they would tell you, all the Houstonians, it was Houston's a little spread out. It's a little spread out.
No,
And this guy...
So, you know, my hotel's in Denver, and the airport's in Houston, Texas.
This guy who worked for the Chronicle, he said to me that Houston is the second largest city in America, meaning geographically, it's
area-wise.
Right. Area-wise. And,
huge.
And he said, you know what city's number one? And I said, Los Angeles?
New York?
New York? He said, nope. Jacksonville, Florida.
And that's where the game is next year.
And basically what this guy was saying to me is he said, if you think Houston stinks, try going to Jacksonville. But you know, I don't care because, I'm one of those guys. I mean, like you guys. I mean, we're all in the same boat.
Right.
We go down for 2 days. We have a good time.
Sure.
We leave. It's just not the greatest. You know,
there are cities that you know make a tremendous impression.
I don't think that any of us left Houston thinking, you know, at some time, I'd really like to come back here because this is just such a great place to live. No, not really.
Stars at night are big and bright.
Where would that be?
Deep in the heart of Texas. Prairie sky.
Yeah, get some Texas barbecue.
High,
right.
Deep in the heart of Texas.
Well, yeah, I had a pretty big grin on my face when that plane took off.
Yeah, I know
And understand that it's nothing anybody did. As a matter of fact, the citizenry there...
Oh, the people are nice.
They were nice.
Couldn't be nicer.
You know, because everybody is hypnotized by the magic box. All the TV stations, it's like, besides whatever's going on with planes being grounded because of security threats, and they even had an Amber Alert in Houston on Saturday where there was a local kid that had been abducted, but they didn't even get to that until like the fifth or sixth story, because the first part was, and don't forget, howdy neighbor, when you leave the house today, remember, you're going to be making an impression on everybody, because the eyes of the world...
Company's coming!
The eyes of the world are in Houston, Texas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they took it seriously, and I think they did They did the best they could.
They made the effort.
They did, Mike, that's the best way to put it.
They did the best they could.
They did the best that they could. Now, having said...
Good steak. And we had a good meal. Yeah, did we not have a good meal?
Yes, we did.
We had a good meal.
Oh, after the show on Friday? Right. Yeah.
But no amount of first impressions can really make up for the people from all across America that make the trip to stand in hotel lobbies.
Yes.
Which is the biggest hobby down there.
Yeah, and I think really it's a wonderful thing. And I think there are people that are listening to us right now that will say, hey, you guys were down there for the, you know, the biggest game of the year. And, you know, what are you talking about? But really, there's certain things you see down there. And I think what we're doing, that if somebody ever plans on going to the Super Bowl, we're giving them a little primer on what to expect, some of the not-so-wonderful things that go
and,
on.
And please do not get me wrong. I am loving the Super Bowl always.
Yes.
No, it could be held in asshole Korea, and I'd go there and have a great time.
Sure. I know you would.
I know, and you don't share my love of it, but I do. I like getting in there. I like sneaking into places. I like,
right.
It's that whole thing. If you look like you belong, nobody questions you.
Sure, sure.
So you walk around, and you see all the players, and you do all the stuff. But I did have one great thing. On Saturday, I got a call from Alan Linewand, and at some point we're going to have to, maybe not today, but give him the inquisition about why he was staying at the Four Seasons Hotel, which is just astonishing. First off, that he can get a reservation there for the Super Bowl, much less fly there on Dan Snyder's private plane.
Right.
And have all of these festivities happening for him, Alan Linewand. And I'm not saying that we should get that treatment.
No.
I'm just questioning why a man of limited intelligence, why a man of limited...
personality?
Yeah, a man of limited business skills ends up on this plane, stays at a classy hotel, he's everywhere in town, and not only him...
getting tickets to every exclusive party.
Not only him, but two of those other goons...
and all of their wives!
Steve Johnson and the aforementioned Michael Hughes, who doesn't like his name.
No, Steve Johnson wasn't there, was he?
No, I'm sorry. It was
the general.
Jeff Hedges.
Yeah. Right.
So we'll have to get him at some point on exactly how he got the sweet deal.
Right.
I mean, our deal was fine. We're not complaining about our deal.
No, we understand.
It's just there's no reason that Alan Linewand should get the treatment.
That's not fair.
What's up with that?
His treatment.
They just cheated us.
His treatment that he got was something like Beyonce Knowles would get.
Yes, where you're treated like an owner.
You fly in on a private plane. You stay at the finest hotel.
You're dined, and you don't pay for a thing.
On Friday night, when we all got together to have dinner, I called Alan.
Dinner which we paid for. They'll reimburse us, but they'll reimburse us 13 years from now.
I called Alan, and I thought, listen, with all this talk about Houston, I do love being at the Super Bowl. I really do. I thought we had a really good, fun show on Friday.
Yeah, we did.
Because I love that environment. I love being in there, and everybody was having a good time. And Alan was, just the fact that he was there somehow, for all of us, was like, oh, now what's he doing here?
Yes.
Especially what's he doing here, like, on a fancy guy's dime. I don't get it. I mean, unless he's done, like, a Modell thing, like I did. And, oh, and I have to thank certain members of the Baltimore Ravens who... really, now that's a first-class operation.
Right.
That really helped me cut some corners down in Houston.
They did.
And actually helped us all out.
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
Buzz?
Yeah.
They did.
Yeah. Yeah, because Don got a new room. Everybody, you guys didn't have to room together.
Yes, Rob and I didn't have to sleep
in my hotel.
Licking our toes.
That's another part of this that's just nutty. When you think of the fact that Linewand went down on Snyder's plane on a private jet, took a limo from the airport to the fancy hotel.
Right.
While we flew late, you know, commercial, the way normal people fly. Right. But the company wouldn't even allow Buzz and Rob separate hotel rooms.
No, they bunk with each other.
The deal is that
was the plan.
Stay in a room with each other, but, you know, Ravens came through.
You guys have done that before, haven't
you? We have, and really, it's no problem.
No problem. Only, you know, even if you get your king bed,
just a little weird.
Ravens came
through. No double beds for you guys.
came through for me with a bunch of stuff, and I appreciate it, and I was able to, you know, offer my room then to
and, you know, I'd
Rob
like to thank,
or Buzz.
I'd like to thank nobody.
So, here's
Dick from anybody, for anything.
Come on.
I didn't. I mean, I was down there I got a $60 cab ride and a $60 cab ride here and a $60 cab. I think I spent like 5 hours in goddamn cabs the whole time I was in Houston.
You got a complimentary wake up call on Saturday morning.
Yeah, thank you for that. I appreciate that. Thank you, Rob. I do appreciate that.
Now hold on. I want to share your hatred.
Yes.
But you're going to have to allow me to be happy for a second.
You had a better weekend
because
than I had.
With not staying at the greatest hotel, and thank you for the Ravens for moving me up to the, not as bad a hotel as you guys were in.
Right.
still, I stayed on Saturday. Everybody else went home. I stayed on Saturday because I went to a function that I'm not at liberty to talk about.
Right.
On the radio. It was
kind of an NFL thing.
An NFL thing that I was privileged to go to. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I'm wide open. And I'm thinking, I got to make something happen because all my buddies are gone.
Right.
And I get a call from Limewand. I'm walking down the street in Houston. And I see a team. He's like, hey, pal. I might be able to get you into the Sports Illustrated party tonight. some of us are heading. I might be able to get you in. And I was so desperate. I said,
just for something to do that was fun.
Yeah, I said, okay, I'll call you. I'll call you. And I walked away thinking, oh, this is bad. I'm down here at the Super Bowl, and God, if this is the worst that the best I can do is to be with Limewand. Because he's not going to Sports Illustrated party. No, I thought I'd rather stay in the hotel room and watch a movie on pay-per-view. It was at that point that I walked over by where I saw
George Michael.
Ah, very good.
Ran into George and Lady.
Geronimo.
What the hell are you doing, Geronimo? Saw George and Lady Lachman, and that's where my luck turned.
Ah,
that's exactly where I turned on to Lucky Street.
You were a lucky man on Saturday night
because I met George. I saw George, and then while George was walking away, we were in front of this hotel with all these people. Some other guy said, "Hey, George," and then all of a sudden I heard a guy say, "Hey, Don," and I turned around because that's my name.
Yeah, and you recognized it.
And it was a guy, and he recognized me, and it was a friend of mine from Chicago who worked in radio. Houston,
right?
He works at radio station Kirby, KRBE, 104 FM in Houston. And I hadn't seen the guy in 20 years, so I sat down, had a drink with this guy from the radio station that he works for comes over, and as it turns out, I was positive this was BS, just like Alan going to the Sports Illustrated party is BS, because we've been to those parties, and they're highly overrated.
Right. Oh, they are very overrated.
You wait in line for hours. You're lucky if you get a drink. You never see anybody famous. It's just a big circle jerk. So they say to me, here's a party tonight. Somebody from Arista. I'm not sure who it is. Missy Little Kim Romeo. Somebody's going to be there.
Okay.
But anyway, a bunch of celebrities. Here's a ticket.
What's it, a record company party?
No, the record company had an artist that was going to be at this celebrity party.
Okay.
So the record company guy says to me, well, here you go. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. If you're friends with Brandt, go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, I don't want to go because I thought it was a piece of crap.
It's right.
Because it says right on the top of the thing,
piece of crap.
104 KRBE. And it says,
like a local radio thing.
Yeah, and it says VIP. And I looked at it, and I looked at my friend, and I just leaned over, and I said, I don't want to be embarrassing, but this is crap. And he said, no, I swear to God to you, this is not crap. This is like a tough ticket. You can't buy this ticket.
Right.
So I said, okay, thanks very much. Left, went to my hotel.
Did you intend to go? All right.
I had, what was my option?
Yeah, okay.
Stay in my room and watch Runaway Jury.
Alan had done what he always does. He'd let you down.
Yeah, although I left it with him saying, if I'm really that desperate, I'll call you.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't going to make that call.
Right, never got that desperate.
So I get in the cab.
So it's this party or an evening of room service.
I say, and I wrote down to this place, Club M.
Mm.
Now, this is nothing that I had heard of. This was not any big, like, Maxim or Sports Illustrated party.
Right.
When the guy pulled up in front of this place, there was a line of 200 people who wanted just to get in.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought right away,
it looks like a CF already.
I'm screwed. I'm, like, way overdressed, wearing, wearing the fancy clothes that Frida got me to wear to the Super Bowl so I can pretend like I'm one of the people that belongs there. And I'm going to walk up with this goddamn radio station thing, and I'm going to be put, like, you know, probably where there's a free keg of beer or something. And it was with my absolute utmost amazement when I walked in and showed the guy the pass, and there was a velvet rope.
And they let you in.
And he did unhinge the velvet rope and did lead me in. Now, at this club, if you paid to get into this club, and there were people that were waiting in line, I think they were selling tickets to get in, just to get into the club.
Right.
$700.
Wow.
And, but they were sold out, but there was still a line of people just as people left.
And you had a VIP pass.
So I had a VIP pass. And they had the quote-unquote celebrities,
right,
in an area by themselves. And if you were one of the regular people, like us, if you had paid $700 to get in...
You wouldn't have seen them.
No, you could have seen them, but you were, and this time I am being honest, about 50 yards away.
Okay.
The celebrities were all in a roped-off area. The celebrities that I saw and did not speak with, but walked past...
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or stood next to... Kurt Warner, mm-hmm, and his incredible alien wife,
right,
Brenda,
right,
who had
with her mullet,
blue junk in her hair that just looked just
horrible,
awful. Jimmy Fallon from Saturday Night Live,
not a big deal there, right?
Who was like putting on a show?
Oh, really?
He was in the corner
doing shtick,
like doing a skit
or
something.
Yeah.
Mike, I know this will make you happy. I saw Roger Clemens.
Ah, yeah. Did he give him the bird for me?
And his wife. No, and he was of
big,
all
big guy, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
He's big.
He's like 6'3", 6'4",
yeah,
gigantic.
Yeah, that's one of the things you notice about the Rocket.
And a real big dick.
Yeah. Was he a dick?
No, Mike. No, I mean he
has.
Oh, he has one.
No. Yeah, he was a big dick. He was just.
Yeah, he thinks
so. He walked in and he didn't want to talk to anybody. Actually, this is what he said when he walked in the door. He said,
"Erections lasting longer than 4 hours, though rare, require immediate medical help."
Yeah, he had snaps.
I stood there for a second, and I was feeling like I had already beaten the odds because here I was. I'm at a Super Bowl party.
Right. Now, was your DJ friend there or?
No, not
yet.
He
wasn't there, okay.
Not yet. I was there by myself. The party started at 7. I got there at 7:30.
Okay.
You know, I'm kind of desperate for something to do.
Fashionable. At least you can get there at 7:02.
Yeah, I know. And it was with great restraint that I wasn't there at 7:02.
Sure.
I thought
technically it's 8:02 on your clock, so that's okay.
I think I'm playing it cool by getting there at, you know, 7.
Right.
So, and some celebrities were there, but I'm not going to walk up and say hi to anybody because, frankly, I don't care about these people. So
Jimmy Fallon!
I go and I sit down at the bar.
Okay.
And I said, you could hear this resonate throughout Houston on Saturday night. I'll have a double Grey Goose orange on the rocks, splash a tonic, and put an orange slice in it for me. Right as I ordered that, I heard, "That's a good drink." And I looked to my left and I saw a major television star.
Wow.
A major television and, to some extent, motion picture star.
Is this a tease?
Yes, it is.
We're going to find out who the major star was?
Mike already guessed up in the office. I thought it would be a boring game to play
right
on the radio, but maybe not, because you got it in, I think.
Does Buzz know who it is?
Yeah. I do know.
Yeah. But I also made the parameters. So, like, every time I
could say... Well, all you said was you put two little categories together.
And they were
male and prime time.
Male, prime time. Mm. That's it. Anyway, and
I'm incredibly gifted.
Well,
that's why I guessed so quickly.
Always. Yeah.
I thought you were.
Mm-hmm. I was.
I thought you got it right. I thought somebody told you, as a matter of fact.
I felt gifted all weekend.
No, Rob's not morally safer.
Oh, come on.
Morally safer was at that other party.
It's raining yellow.
All right, we'll be right back.
Hold on, we'll be back.
It's the Don and Mike Show.
Okay, I get it. You're joking. Well, I've got a sense of humor. I laugh at Tony Danza. Of course, if you aren't joking, I feel bad and I apologize.
I laugh at Tony Danza.
I laugh at Tony Danza.
I laugh at Tony Danza.
All right, that's it.
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Home of the world's dumbest millionaire. The Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
made it out of Houston.
Yeah. Yes, oh,
you did.
So did you, Mike.
That's right. Forgot.
We all did. We all escaped Houston.
Yeah.
Listen, so I'm at this party, which I don't expect to be a good party, but as it turns out, I'm there, and it's a great party. And I'm sitting at... I don't want to reveal the celebrity's name. If you're listening, honey, call now, because I tried to call my wife. This was towards the end of my encounter with a celebrity, which lasted about 10 minutes.
And you were doing a good job masking your glee, your giddy celebrity-struck enthusiasm.
Sure. That I tried to call Frida to put this person on the telephone.
Sure.
And I got Rob's wife instead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I always do.
All right.
I always make that mistake.
Accident.
And I looked at the phone. She said, hello. And I look at it. You know, my phone says, Frida. Right? And I know I didn't call the wrong phone.
Who is this?
As it turns out, our wives, Robbie, had gone out on... Well, you knew this. You're back. Went out Saturday night.
Yeah.
Went out drinking and whoring. And and I guess, you know, while they had picked up guys or something, mm-hmm. somehow my wife's cell phone tumbled out of her purse and ended up in Carrie's car.
Really?
So Carrie...
Maybe they... You know what? Did you ever think... Maybe they were roughhousing?
So it's Carrie, Rob's wife. And
Carrie, Rob's wife.
I said, well, I'm here with a celebrity. And she said, well, I don't know. I got Frida's phone. Oh, I've got to go bring it back to her, blah, 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 blah. And I said, okay, all right. And then I put the phone down, and the celebrity looked at me and said, what were you doing? Oh, hold on. This may be this. Here she is. Hi, darling.
Hi, my sweetheart.
Hi, baby. Now,
I have one question.
Yes.
It's a very sweet story, but I'm stuck on a fact that you mentioned a little bit earlier.
What's that?
How, you know, it's like I have to pull teeth to get you to go out with me any night. And then when you're not...
Baby, it's the Super Bowl. You don't know me at the Super Bowl. These guys will tell you. I'm a...
bar with strangers, which I could not, on my deathbed, get you to go out with me.
But you don't...
bar with strangers.
Darling, you don't know when it's different when you're somewhere else and you've got nothing to do. If you would ever...
I've been with you on vacation when we've been somewhere else with nothing to do, and we just do nothing.
But baby, the Super Bowl, it's like there's big, gigantic, blown-up footballs everywhere. And really, and everywhere you look, it says Super Bowl, and everywhere you go, that's all they're talking about.
You were kind of... I mean, we all were, but you know, to get a free pass on this. You were kind of a party poop on Friday night because we were all tired, right?
Yeah, right.
You wanted to just went home. Went back to your hotel.
Yeah, Friday night I just went and crashed because I was.
You just don't want to go out when there's witnesses. When you're by yourself, you're at your party.
Okay, whatever your theory is. And here I was going to say something wonderful about you. Besides the fact I tried to call the celebrity with you. As I told you on an episode last week, my wife had the floors redone,
yes.
And I was crazy because all of my TV stuff
right.
had to be unplugged. So what a good wife I have, and I really mean this. Yesterday morning, 7 a.m., I'm still in Houston, she's back here. I'm so freaked out about the fact that the game's going to be on,
right.
And
you're not going to get your TV.
Right. And because they had to take everything out of the room and unhook everything.
All the wires.
My wonderful wife is on the phone with me, and I'm walking her through enough to at least get it up and running.
And she did it.
She did it. Right. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of it was just me jerry-rigging it and knowing where stuff is and saying, oh, no, don't put that cord in there. That code
right.
cord goes in here. Anyway, you were great. We were on the phone, like, for a half hour.
I know what's important to my man.
On Sunday morning, and it was very nice of you.
The house was a mess. It looked like there was so much dust. It looked like I'm reading a book about Pompeii right after the volcano and all the ash. That's what the house looked like.
Wow.
But the TV was perfect when you got back, and that's all that I cared about.
That's it. You're my girl. Thank you, baby. Oh, and sorry that you missed the celebrity.
I'm glad I missed that call. That's embarrassing. What are you supposed to say to a celebrity on the phone?
I just wanted to pass it over just to say
you
hello.
You want to verify. You want somebody to acknowledge that you're having this moment, and you wanted to share it with the woman you love.
Hi, sure.
It's nice to talk to you. I love your work.
Yeah, and you would have said that.
That would have been very embarrassing and very uncool.
All right. Well, anyway.
I think it's not uncool if you get on the phone with the celebrity and go, you suck.
Well, she wouldn't have done that. She wouldn't have done that because you like this guy. All right, baby.
All right.
Love you.
I love you too, sweetie, and I'm glad you look handsome. Thank you for telling me you look good in your grown-up clothes, and you don't wear a dirty... jersey there. That would have been like the one appropriate place for you to wear a jersey.
Yeah, she made me wear all my grown-up clothes, and I had to call her on Saturday when I was in the middle of going to all of these things. And I said, listen, you know, thanks for making me buy grown-up clothes.
When Don mentioned the celebrity to you, Frida, did you get excited then? I mean, are you excited about the celebrity he hung out with?
I think it's a very neat story.
See, she doesn't care.
I don't sound a little condescending, do I?
Mm-hmm. All right, bye, honey. See ya.
Bye, sweetie.
Bye.
I'm afraid that
very
she can't,
clever boys.
She can't share my excitement. So anyway, here it is. I'm sitting at the bar and I order the drink and the guy says that's a good one and I look and it's Matthew Perry.
Oh, mm-hmm.
So it's Matthew Perry from Friends and he is sitting. It's a small bar in the very back of this roped off area that has a bunch of seats with sunken seats, a bunch of booths, so these people can all be in their private little areas. Mm-hmm. And he's sitting at the bar, and he's got his three guys that I think are his friends, his buddies.
Right.
So he's down there. So he looks at my media tag, mm-hmm. which you're forced to wear wherever you go down
everywhere,
there to get
right.
in somewhere.
And unless you're on a major TV show.
It's the, yeah. Yeah, right. But all the schmucks like me
right.
are wearing this. And it's a big, gigantic thing. We all had to wear them.
Yeah, they're huge. Yeah.
And it says right on it,
Michael Sorge.
Got my real name.
And also in very, you know, not as big letters as the Super Bowl, but on the bottom of it, not good for game.
Right.
Yeah. Right. So
it was the first time they've done that, which I thought is kind of a drag.
Yeah, that hurts.
But he looks over at me and he goes, so, media, Mike Source, you're in the media. And I said, hey, and so are you. And then there was a moment,
uh-huh.
and then he said, so, where are you from? And I said, I'm from D.C. He said, what do you do? I said, I do a stupid little radio show. He said, hey, I used to do a stupid little TV show. These are all direct quotes from
right.
this guy.
Yeah.
And then he said, what do you think of Houston? And I had had enough to drink. And I was just giddy enough just to be, you know, I mean, I don't mean to sound like a faggot because I'm not a gigantic
pretty cool, though.
Fan of this guy, but yeah. he was cool and not being a jerk, and yeah. I was talking to him. So I figured, what I got to lose? What do you think of Houston? I said, I think it sucks. I said, it's real nice if you want a Paco Corralo a taco because they're on every block, and if you want a Jack in the Box or a Goodyear tire.
Sure.
I said, I think the city sucks. And he said to the bartender, and then he says, whatever this man is having, give him another one. And then he moved his stool.
Right.
He moved his stool.
Right.
Over so that he said to his friend, Brian, remember the name, Brian, move over. So he moves over to sit down next to me
mm-hmm.
and starts talking to me and says, so, what do you think? And I said, what do you think about what? What do you think about tonight? We gonna have a good time tonight? He was playing with me. Obviously,
right.
he's playing with me like I'm some schmuck fan, which I am. And then he said, "Is your show on in Los Angeles?"
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "No, and it will never be on in Los Angeles." and he said, "Well, I," and then he laughed. He said, "He said I probably would." He went, and they went, "Ha ha ha ha! I'm lying. I wouldn't listen to your show." And then I said, well, that's pretty good because up until like the last month, I've really not watched your show either. And he was cool with that. He said, oh, whatever. I said, now I do like, I know it's not you, but I like the, how you doing?
Oh my God, you talking to me like Joey?
Oh. Yeah, I did. What the hell?
Oh,
he laughed at me.
Right.
He laughed at me and then he said, so, what do you do on your show? You just talk about, because I said, well, you know, it's a lifestyle show. And I was getting into, like, he said, do you ever talk about Friends? I said, yeah, we talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't watch it. I don't watch it a lot, so I kind of lead the discussion, and we don't really talk about it. But, and then this is turning around. I said, but I did see you in the whole nine yards with Bruce Willis. And this is true. I did see it. Mm-hmm. I think it's a funny movie. I said, there's that scene when you running into the sliding glass door. I said, that's comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, you're essing me. You saw that movie? You liked it? I said, hell yes. He said, you know, we made a sequel. I said, I think I had read that like 6 months mm-hmm. ago. He said, it's tested so poorly that they pushed it back. It was supposed to be released between Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Mm. Right.
Then it was supposed to come out the first part of the year.
Now it'll
be out sometime when there's a lull in February or March or whatever.
Something to look forward to.
So he was pretty funny, and I saw the guy, his NBC liaison slash security guy, goon, was standing over his left shoulder. And I could see this guy. He had an earpiece in and was standing about 10 feet behind Matthew Perry. And I see him, Matthew Perry turns around, and I see the guy, the goon, I see him point at me. Like, what he's inferring is
he bothering you?
Right. Uh-huh. And Matthew Perry just goes like this. Doesn't think I see it. He just goes, he shrugs and goes,
shakes his head no.
Right.
A little bit.
So,
subtly.
I turned to him and I...
Well, when you put your arm around him, did the guard come any closer?
No, what I did is I turned and I said to him, hey, thanks for shaking off the sign. And he laughed.
Right.
Then he really laughed. He said, you totally did not know that I was shaking off the sign. I said, that's your boy right back there. That's your goon. I said, your goon? I saw your goon point at me, and then you said no, that it was okay.
He's okay.
And, uh-huh. and then he said, my goon, hey, come here, Anthony.
Yeah.
And this guy who's like 8 feet tall comes over, and he goes, Anthony, my goon, I'd like you to meet Mike. He's in the media. You know, and the guy shakes my hand. The guy's got like a gigantic hand.
Yeah,
twice,
right.
Twice the size of my hands are like Macaulay Culkin's hands compared to this guy. And Matthew Perry was having a really good time busting my ball saying, so he says you're a
the
goon.
Did the guy take any offense at the fact that you called him a goon?
No, because he was bought and paid for by Matthew Perry.
So, right.
At one point.
So he was a security guy.
Yeah, when Matthew Perry was done with him, he said, that's fine, you can leave us now. And that guy goes, yes, sir. And he just walks
ten
feet away.
Right.
So then we had a second drink, and we talked about sports, and we talked about all kinds of stuff. And then I said to him, he got up to leave, and he said, well, Mike Source, it's been a pleasure meeting you. And I said, I'm going to say this on my radio show on Monday. You're really not a dick. He said, but you're a dick. And then his friends all laughed because that's what, you know. Yeah, but also it was kind of funny because he was calling me a dick. And then I said, you know what I should do? I really should probably give you the number of the radio show so that you can. And I said, nah, you know, forget it. This would be like the thing when I was calling my wife.
Right.
I said, I don't even know what the number to the radio show is. And he said, as he was walking away, he grabbed my hand, gave me the put both hands on my hand and said, and I want you to know, even if you gave me the number, I would absolutely never call your show.
Wow.
I said, but it's been great seeing you.
Right.
Bye-bye. And I did manage some paparazzi guy came by.
And got a picture?
And I got a picture of me with him.
Oh, good.
Excellent. Good, good, good.
And Jimmy Fallon. So I guess I'll have that at some point in the future.
Now, how long would you say that you and Matthew Perry spent together? The couple of drinks there?
Buzz, I did time it.
Yeah, well, of course.
Of course
I would.
You did. It's all about quantity.
Sure.
10 minutes.
10 minutes with Matthew Perry.
That's pretty impressive.
10 quality minutes with Matthew Perry. Yeah. And I guess I did okay. He didn't walk away. And I felt like a big shot, you know.
Cool.
Because there were other people that were looking at me.
You got to kind of pretend that it's not a big deal.
But I was thinking that the people that were looking at me were thinking that I was like one of his schmuck friends who was obviously there just to suck his hind, which I was. And I pushed it at the very end when I...
So you're saying you did do that and it tasted good.
Yeah. And he got up to leave and I said, where are you going now? And funny, because he didn't say it meanly. Mm-hmm. He said it in a funny way. Right. I said, where are you going now? And he said, somewhere you'll never go. And I said, where are you going? He said, bye.
Oh, that's funny.
Wow.
Took off and walked away. So
he was just playful, but he was having a good time, and he was a nice guy.
Yes, and not a dick. Not a dick at all, Matthew Perry.
Good to hear.
Didn't appear to be, you know, and I had to check right away. I called, like I said, tried to call my wife. You know, when you're in that situation... God, I'm such an idiot in that situation. I wanted to call everybody and say, I'm here with Matthew Perry.
Matthew Perry.
What I did, and actually the move with Frieda ended up being fine because he was talking to his friends for a second. So I picked up the phone to get my wife on the cell, and I go, hello, hello, and the whole thing with Carrie, and I said, oh, well, I'm sitting here with
Matthew. And he caught you?
I said, I'm sitting here with Matthew Perry, but never mind, click. And I hung up the phone, and he said, who is that? I said, I just called my wife. And he said, dude, it's a quote, dude, that is so pathetic. Like, what did you expect? He said, what did you expect that I would do? I said,
I guess pick up the phone and say hi to my wife.
Right. And he said, I could be any guy. I could just be some drunk guy just saying hello. What's that going to mean? And that was a refreshing,
you know, and it really,
funny attitude.
Well, he knows that because he's probably been asked many times to do that.
He's a funny guy.
So anyway, that was that. That was that.
That's pretty impressive. And, he is a big deal.
And then at the very end, that was it. That was it. There was something else.
Did you linger at the party after your new boyfriend left?
Yes, I did. And for the longest time.
And so you got a picture with Matthew Perry and Jimmy Fallon?
Yes, because Jimmy Fallon was standing there, and there was a guy from NBC who said, let's get some shots of Matthew.
Right.
Some shots of his mother. Come on, let's get some shots, Matthew.
Right.
And then he said, hey, Mike from the media, come here, get your picture. So
right.
I didn't speak a word to Jimmy Fallon,
sure.
But there's a picture making its way to me. And I hung out there for a...
We'll look for you in the tabloids.
For a couple hours, I hung out there. And listen, I know I sound like a schmuck, but, you know, it's cool.
It is cool.
Doesn't
it's
happen
cool
every day.
Cool in this culture of celebrity that we all live in, it's fun to hang out with a celebrity.
Cool to meet someone who's not a dick. And at one point, I did even say to him, how is your show going to end? Can you tell me anything?
Right. Yeah.
And he said, I thought you didn't watch the show. I said, well, I watch it sometimes. How's it going to end? He said, who cares? And that was really his attitude.
Right. Seemed to be carefree. Well, he's got all that money in the bank.
Who cares?
Why not?
What the hell? But he was not there with a girl.
Right.
With a girl.
Hmm.
With a girl, wasn't he?
And he's kind of a ladies' man, right? Is he married?
Don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't know.
Ladies' man.
Here's the last thing that I heard on the way out. This is what I hesitated to say. As I left... the doorman said to me, are you going with the Perry party?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, no, I just ran into him. He said, oh, and Mike, you're going to be glad that you'll recognize his name. I didn't know that they had such an establishment in the fine town of Houston, but I'm not surprised. I said, oh, he went to the Gold Club. they're having a special party
for him
tonight out at the Gold Club.
Just for him, huh?
Yeah, which cool. Is, you know, it's the NBA players go to that place all the time.
Yeah,
and
sure.
The strip club where you get handies and everything.
Didn't know they had one in Houston.
I did not know that either, but apparently that's where Matthew Perry had to get out to go to.
Wowzy woo-woo.
He had to leave. I wrote it down, the M Bar. Uh-huh. That was the name of the place, the M Bar.
The M Bar.
In Houston, Texas.
Nice party.
So that's that.
Lifestyles of the rich and famous.
Wow.
Yeah, I like meeting a famous dude. Last night after the game, did anybody besides me watch the whole Survivor?
No.
I didn't watch any of it. It's too late. I bailed 5 minutes in. And that was their mistake, I think, putting it on after the game, because they probably didn't do that big a number.
I only watched it because I couldn't go to sleep. Here was the thing. I sat there with Freya. We're watching it in bed, and I said, would you turn that off, please? And she said, no, I'm watching it. And I said, well, I'm going to roll over and go to sleep as soon as Richard Hatch gets naked. And in the first 10 minutes...
He got naked again?
Yeah, Richard Hatch...
Oh,
same
no.
deal. Like they all don't know that Richard Hatch is going to get
Did
naked.
Did Jerry get naked?
No.
The evil Jerry girl?
No.
Now, I only watched the first two. And I know that the girl that won the second one, Tina, remember Tina with the big we thought
wiry older lady?
Right. We thought she had fake cans.
Right.
She was the first one booted off last night.
Oh, she was?
Yeah. Yeah. And when I was discussing this this morning with some people, I said it didn't do it for me because no matter what situation they put these people in, you know that if you're one of the people that won the contest and one of the... And
right.
How many of them have they done now?
Oh,
eight,
like
nine,
100,
ten
yeah,
of them, something?
Eight,
if you're one of the people that's won one of those before, you know your ass is going to get voted off that show.
Right.
There's no way that the people that won before are going to win again.
No, they don't do that, and it's probably all contrived anyway.
Yeah, so anyway...
As phony as that breast exposure.
Oh, that is something, isn't it?
Yeah.
That is fantastic.
I'm still thinking about that.
What kind of a world do we live in? Do you have USA Today there for a second?
Yeah.
Because, now listen, I know only people at airports and in hotels read this, but they call themselves the nation's newspaper.
Very minimal coverage of this.
There,
of course.
I couldn't find any coverage.
Yeah, there's coverage in the, the sports section.
In the sports section?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Hold on. Find it for me, because I thought I went through the whole thing where it's like Tagliabue's team. There's Janet Jackson performing, doing in a warm-up.
Uh-huh.
I can't. Was it in the news part or the sports part? Anyway, nothing in the USA Today about the Janet Jackson teeth.
Kind of
on the front page.
On the page of the sports section. Right.
Okay.
All right. Well, still.
No, but it's not good coverage.
It's
not detailed coverage.
Here's why I didn't. You're right. Gosh, what's good? The whole first top half of the page, Patriots Day, Veterinary to Rescue, and then
below the fold.
Yeah. Half provides kind of exposure NFL doesn't want.
Yeah, that's
you're right. Okay, well, I take it back. I thought it wasn't even in you. I was scouring this paper, and here it is.
There it
right
is.
On the front page of the
screen. And that's where she's covering it up with her hand, looking shocked.
And by the way, the latest is that the head of the FCC has ordered an investigation into the exposure of Janet Jackson's breast.
Oh, you know what? Come on. I mean, really. Okay, it happened. Agree. Let's move on.
I agree.
God, what's wrong with this country?
I agree. You should have been there at the M Club.
God, let's investigate some of the people that are, you know, corrupt businessmen.
Uh-huh.
Thank God cameras weren't there when Matt Perry pulled out his scrote.
You know what I did want to hear? I wanted to hear about if Charlie did see the streaker, what happened with that.
Okay, we'll find out.
I'd love to find out about that, even though it does, you know, pose a bit of a risk.
We do.
Not the streaker putting Charlie on the air.
We do have to break. When we come back, I know Mike has stuff coming back from the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you know, the moral of my story, which I'm going to tell you, is always communicate clearly.
And and something else. It's special. Be right back.
Is the Don and Mike.
It's not really special. It was a tease.
Men lie. We lie. We live lies. For instance, every man in this room is hiding some porno in his house. Every man in here got a pornography stash in the crib. Not an illegal amount, just enough to get you by. And when we hide porno, we go all out. It ain't behind the refrigerator, under the bed. No, we become Batman when it's time to hide the porno. That's right. You hit the light switch, the whole bookshelf shift to the side. You go down two flights of stairs into your porno cellar. Janet Jackson, yes. Toby Carr, Gina Jameson, that's right.
The Don and Mike Show.
They welcome vicious personal attacks. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Oh, we do, but you got to wait for the phone scam.
Please.
Which we will get to.
Whoa.
On today's show, yes. Come on, Mike, we love it. And it's it's Groundhog Day. I thought you were saying no, and I realized you were singing.
Who is this?
Frankie and the Knockouts.
I know, baby.
We used to do that all the time.
Sweetheart. And it's Groundhog Day.
Did the rodent... shadow?
Yep. And 6 more weeks of winter, like any...
Shocker. Isn't it always that?
Pretty much.
Didn't know that.
Isn't a little bastard always see his shadow?
I say we kill him.
Who's on...
can eat him.
Is this for us? On 444?
Kill him.
Who's on hold?
Barbecue.
Hello?
Hey, guys. Larry here.
Larry Michael!
Larry Michael. Hey, Larry.
How you guys doing?
You're doing great. Larry is a vice president.
Hard to believe the truth.
With Westwood One.
He got a promotion.
Yeah, senior VP, by the way.
Senior VP. You're the senior VP of Westwood One Sports?
Yeah.
So what's happened, wow, Larry?
Cool. Well, I mean, he's been there a long time, I guess.
Pardon me?
He gives me a good seat at the Super Bowl.
Larry, have you been drinking?
I have been the last 4 days, yes.
What about right now?
No, I'm trying to chill out. I have a show coming up later today.
Oh, that's right. You're on here tonight.
Here is our producer.
Johnny, you wanted to find out something about the streaker.
Oh, and Charlie didn't want the pressure, so he decided to call Larry.
I didn't see it.
Didn't see it?
No.
I saw it happen. It was remarkable that nobody didn't take a shot at him, because everybody just stood back and watched.
Now, here's the deal, Larry. For everybody that was, us included, watching it on TV... First off, the dumb announcers, they make no mention of Janet Jackson's teeth or her nipple, but...
Because they're terrified.
When a streaker runs on the field, the TV cameras don't show it, but these guys make a... I think it was Greg Gumbel that said something like, well, it's the naked truth that we're getting today. And I thought he was talking about Janet Jackson. But as it turns out, it's a streaker.
So was it funny, Larry, to see it? I mean, was it funny?
I mean, here's the way it rolled out, okay? Because there were so many of these extras, these idiots they hired to act like they're happy watching the music.
I'm right.
Sure you saw those people.
We did.
These people were falling off the side of the stadium. So I think this guy somehow managed his way to the sideline. Maybe he was one of the extras. I'm not sure. But, you know, right before the kickoff, a referee is usually standing by the ball, right? And the guy's getting ready to kick. Casey's getting ready to kick. Well, here comes a referee running to the ball, And then he's got Velcro pants, rips them off, takes off his shirt. And I couldn't tell because the broadcast booth we had was very high. Other people told me who were on the sidelines, the guy was actually wearing a jock. I'm not so sure.
He had a G-string.
Right, thong, okay. And so he's doing the moonwalk, first of all. I mean, literally, he's moonwalking around the football. And then he starts flapping his arms around. Then he starts running. And all the football players are standing there with their hands on their hips, staring at this dude. And then, from every angle of the sidelines, here comes these security guys. And they, and then there's a football player. It wasn't Mike Curtis, like the old.
I remember that one.
Didn't get that good a shot on him.
It was a guy from the Patriots, right?
Yeah, they knocked him down. He gave him a pretty good shot. A couple of Patriots trying to box him in. This guy took a shot. It was more of a hip check than a punch. And then they hogtied him and carried him away. But 10 cops just carried him away.
Yeah. Now, did he get a round of applause?
He got a good round of applause. I think the whole thing, you know, with the Janet Jackson thing, I couldn't tell what was happening. I thought somebody had thrown something at her because we were so far up, we couldn't see the breast come out, as it were.
The teat. Oh, and it was a beautiful moment. Larry, what is the policy with network TV that I know that. Well, now, this is why I'm troubled by this. They show Janet Jackson's teeth, which obviously they knew that they were going to get. You get a spontaneous moment with a guy.
Although you probably can get any executive to admit that.
But I'm guessing that the guy was not exactly like male model like Derek Zoolander. He was probably a fat guy, right?
He wasn't in very good shape. He had something written across his chest, you know, like goldenpalace.com, right? He was being paid to do it. And come to find out, this guy has... you might remember the commercial that was from a soccer stadium, a guy streaking.
What? Yeah.
That's the same guy.
Oh, it's the same. So is it the real guy?
This guy is the professional streaker.
You and I saw a feature on that.
Right.
Exactly.
On Real Sports.
The same guy. Exactly. You're right on the nose.
It's the British guy from Real Sports.
Yeah. And he wrote on his website that he was going to do this, but nobody really gave a damn.
You know what he did predict? He did predict he was going to do the Super Bowl.
Good for him.
And here's what he had to say after he was caught by the security.
Erections lasting longer than 4 hours, though rare, require immediate medical help.
So they roughed him up a little bit.
Oh, they roughed him up a little bit. They roughed him up a lot, I think. And, of course, he spent the night in jail.
All right, but I'm
still waiting to find out who the special guest was at halftime. Who was the special guest at halftime?
It was either Justin Timberlake or Janet Jackson's boob, and I think it was Janet Jackson's boob.
That's what it was.
All right, thanks, Larry. See you tonight. All right, there he is, now a senior vice president.
He just keeps moving up.
Wow. The Westwood One.
Pretty amazing.
Larry Michael. There's a guy who saw it. Mm-hmm. And now, why not show us that on TV?
You know, really. And that's a shame. It really is.
And there has to be with it.
He had a G-string on. I mean, he was just a guy in a bathing suit.
You got 30 cameras. You know, you've got four or five angles.
There's tape somewhere.
Yeah, you mean you can't find an angle that wouldn't show the guy's whole butt?
You know, I know it sounds stupid to say this, but I'm getting a little worried about us.
But Mike,
we're getting a little uptight.
The thing is, if you put that on TV, you're encouraging people to act that way.
The NFL to honor America and bilk us out of thousands and millions of dollars.
The NFL will now honor America by letting you see Janet Jackson's exquisite nipple
with a beautiful sun nipple shield and a bar through it. Ooh.
So when we were in Houston, the deal was that some of us would stay longer than others. Charlie stayed and went to the game.
He was one of our group that went to the game with his lovely wife, Lisa.
I got out of town yesterday. Mike and everybody came back on Saturday. And as it turns out, Mike has the best story about arriving back at the airport.
I do. And we were on time. It was a great flight. Got into National Airport on time. And I was with you, Buzz, and with Rob. And Buzz's lovely wife was at the airport to meet him, which I thought was really nice. Rob made a joke that he doesn't remember a time when Carrie has ever gotten out of the car to meet him at the airport, and she drives around and he goes out and picks up. My lady Carla was going to meet me at the airport, and so I don't think she had been to National, so I was looking around for her, and you guys both took off, and then I just said, well, I'll go upstairs to the next level and see if she's up there and see what happens. You know, as soon as I do that, the phone rings, and she said, what gate are you at? And we start this discussion, and I'm walking Carla through. I said, are you in the terminal? She said, yeah. I said, okay, well, I'm down in Terminal B, and what you want to do, I'm way down at the far end And she said, okay, I'm going to walk down there right now. I said, do you see the signs for Terminal B? Now, this should have gotten me suspicious. She said, no, I don't see the sign for Terminal B. Well, that's where I am. Can you walk all the way down to where the security is?
See, if you're
that's
married.
That's where I am. I'm on Continental.
If you're married to her?
Yes.
No offense?
Yes.
She's very nice, I'm sure. Of course,
right?
You've shielded her from me. I've not met her. But
yes.
If you're married to her, you'd be going to Terminal C.
Well, you know, it was connected to Terminal B.
Okay.
And so I get down there, and I'm on the phone with her, and I said, well, it's all the way down. She said, I don't see it. I'm not sure. And I said, well, let me walk down to the other side. So I basically walk from one end of the airport to the other end of the airport, and then I go up the stairs. And then I determine, I'm talking to her, and I said, you know what it is? It sounds to me like you're at the main terminal, which is the old part of the airport.
Oh,
and National's got two sections.
Mm-hmm.
I said, what you have to do, I hate to tell you this, but you have to get in the car and come back over to the C and B terminals. That's where I am. I'm going to wait out on the street. I'm so wrapped up with trying to tell her where I am, and we're trying to coordinate, mm-hmm. that I made a... This is one of actually two dumb things that I did. You're going to find out one later, but... I put my bag down. I got a rolling carry-on, and I got a carry-on that goes over my shoulder. I get so caught up when it's determined that she's in the main terminal that I put my bag down, and I just start walking. And I'm like, okay, here's what you do. You want to go there? I will stand out on the outside row of the cars, and you can just come by and pick me up right there. All of a sudden, I'm all wound up with this conversation. I said, okay, as soon as you get to your car, call me. So I hang up the phone with her, and I go up to this second level, and I realize I only have one bag.
Uh-oh.
I only have one suitcase.
That's terrifying.
And I'm so completely, I was so wrapped up with trying to tell her where I was, mm-hmm. that I don't know where I've laid it down. And I know now what I'm going to have to do is I'm going to have to walk the entire length of the airport
retrace every step,
right. Hopefully get it right.
Right.
I go up to where I thought I started, and I see the security guy. I said, have you seen a Baltimore Ravens bag? And thanks to Dave Modell for that bag that we all travel with. And he says, no, I haven't seen anything. I said, you might want to ask this other guy. I said, have you seen a Baltimore Ravens bag? Now I'm starting to get freaked out. He said, no, I haven't seen anything. So I walk on the second level. I'm level number two. I walk the entire length of the airport.
Oof.
Then I go back down. And I walked the entire length of the airport on the bottom. I'm covering the whole airport. The retracing the steps is not working at this point. At that moment, the phone rings, and Carla says to me, I'm in my car, and I'm driving by. I don't see you out front. And I'm like going, okay, you don't see me out front because I left my bag, and I'm trying to get... And this time, I'm running. I'm running through the airport trying to get... So I go down this set of escalators, and I'm walking back over.
Dial 911.
Get the... You know, I got this bronchitis thing that I've been battling for a week, and I'm sitting there, and I'm out of breath, and finally I look over, and there's... I see my bag, and next to it is a very, very pissed off... cop. He wasn't a regular city cop. He's one of the airport protection cops.
Right.
Sure.
And he's sitting there going, I said, is that a Baltimore Ravens bag? And he says, yeah, come on, man, help us out. And I'm like, oh, no. He said, I had to get a new battery, and I called in a canine unit. You know, we need a little help. What is it? It's not a heavy bag. What are you doing? And I'm getting, yelled at in the middle of the airport. Meanwhile, I know Carla's outside, probably getting shooed away from the other security people, and I just want to go home.
And you can't.
I want to leave.
And I know you can't get mad at the cop.
You know me when I fly 3.5 hours?
But
I was that close. And you know what? I was that close to letting the big one go.
Mm.
Because he went a little longer than he should have.
You'd be doing the show from jail today.
I probably would be in the hoose scout because I was really ready.
I
know they protect us, and I know it was stupid for me to do that. But I was really, okay, I understand. Okay. F you. You know, because he really just went far enough where
behind your back, Mr. O'Mara.
So the guy's still yelling, and I'm just walking away. And I said, sorry, I was giving somebody directions. You've got motorist assistance right out there. You should have gone right to them. I said, well, it's not quite. Then I'm like, why am I going to argue with this guy?
Right.
I walk away. Then I go out, and the phone rings again. It's Carla, and I said, did they move you past? She said, no, I'm out here. What part of the terminal did you say? I said, I don't understand what's going on here. I'm standing out. I said, look up. Now, do you see those big pillars? Do you see B, the red letter B? And she said, no, I don't see anything like this. I said, are you at B and C terminal? And she says, Mike, I don't know where I am. I am totally confused. I don't know what you're talking about.
Keep in mind,
and at this point,
she's just gotten a learner's permit.
Oh, You're bad. That's not that. Is that you? Did you write that, Rob? All right. Anyway, it was. Was that? Was
give me some crap.
That's your. You authored that one,
just
all right?
Because it's mean spirited doesn't mean that it had to come from Rob.
See, when it's a real mean spirited joke, I always think. It's a good chance. We're sitting there. I said, "What is the deal?" And she said, "Mike, what airport are you at?"
Oh.
I said, "I'm at National Airport." She said, "I'm at Dulles."
Oh, no. Like, see, like most airports in D.C., we have
two airports.
There's one downtown and one in Virginia.
And I have, you know, when you immediately realize.
Did you tell her Dulles?
I didn't not tell her Dulles. And I didn't tell her National. I told her, "I'm going to the airport." We've flown out of Dulles a couple of times.
This is what's great about the fact that you're not married to this girl, that you're just, you're dating her.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you were married to her, you'd get mad at her.
Yeah, well, no, I got it. She could tell that I was curt with her because time was of the essence. I think it was something like, "I'll take a cab. I'll talk to you later. I'm gonna take a cab." You know, and then I reacted much like Albert Brooks.
You lost the nest egg!
But it was not, and what pissed me off even more, I've screwed up by leaving my bag unattended, and I screwed up because I didn't mention we were flying into the other airport, National Airport, and we normally fly...
Ronald Reagan Alzheimer's Airport.
Right. We flew from Ronald Reagan to George Bush and George Bush to Ronald Reagan,
right,
which I thought was kind of interesting. Yeah. But anyway, it was... and then, you know, I know that I've screwed this up, that it's that this... because I forgot to tell her this. I get into the back of this cab, and the cab driver gets all my wrath, all of it. Because we get on Route 66 here in Washington, D.C., and in the middle of the day, it's like 3 o'clock on a Saturday, there's a traffic jam on Route 60. I'm like, and I was screaming. I think he really thought that he had some kind of psychopath, because I'm like, it's amazing.
That's right.
Where the F is everybody going? I don't get this. And the cab driver's doing that thing where he's looking in the rearview mirror, kind of giving me the eye like that. You know, I didn't want to explain to him that I had been just, for an hour and a half, I've been walking around the airport trying to figure out where I was, and then I got yelled at by a cop, and then I realized that my girlfriend was at the other airport, not the one, and so I'm yelling about the traffic. And then, well, it was right after that I had my first mini stroke.
Oh. Your mini stroke.
But really, I think we landed at, what time did we land, guys, roughly?
3
o'clock. About 3 o'clock we landed. I believe that I got home at about 9:15. No, it was a long day. It was a very, very long day.
You're okay. You're cute.
But you're
cute with your girlfriend.
Well, here's the deal. Let me tell you, the moral of the story is, if you have an airport, you know, that if you change airports and you're not going to be landing at the one that you always land at, it's really important to communicate that. Because I know that this is not the first time this has happened to anybody. I know.
Of course not.
When you have two airports in a city, that's going to happen.
It's the first time it's happened with you and Hillary Duff.
Yes, of course. That's yours, too. That's your own. Rob didn't write that for you.
All right.
There you go. That's okay.
You and Lizzie McGuire.
So, you know, between staying at...
that's a good thing. Imagine if she had to ride her bike out there.
Came off to
the wrong airport to pick you up.
So it was, needless to say, the trip to Houston for me was a tad long.
Wow.
I was very, very glad to finally get home. Oh, and, you know, especially after staying at the Best Vomit. You know, and I'm sorry, but I didn't make a big deal about that, okay? I remember the conversations we'd have where you know, and I don't hold you personally responsible for that. I'm just jealous.
If you go to the whatever guide it is,
for hotels?
In Houston,
mm-hmm.
That comes up as a 3.5-star hotel.
Well, that hotel, it was the Vomitorium.
It comes up as
a 3-star hotel?
Yes.
Yeah, but it's on a scale of 12 stars.
No, those weren't stars. Those were stains.
I believe you have to counter in the Houston factor.
Yes. Well, I have a new slogan for that.
What is that?
The Best Western Houston. And, you know, I won't give the specific one. There's no need to do that.
No.
But I'll the Best Western Vomit. You know, our motto, our answer is always no. That's really what
they're
it should
consistent.
Be. Yeah, they're, you know, fantastic.
I asked the gentleman at the front desk if we were close to anything after my 50th $50 cab ride. He said, "Oh, yes, we're walking distance from IHOP."
Right. And you know what? One of the nice things about that hotel also, when you're trying to get a decent night's sleep, at 4 o'clock in the morning, when you shut your door ever so close, you know, and nice and tight so it's a nice seal, at 4 o'clock in the morning, when you've gone to bed at like 11:30 to get some shut-eye, the people coming back from their little Super Bowl revelry, you know what they sound? It's like this.
I think that was at every hotel.
Yeah, but all the hotels didn't have walls that were made of typing paper.
And I know you think that I was staying at the Ritz or something.
I know you were.
No, hello. It's called Marriott Residence Inn.
Okay, all right.
Okay.
Do you have Spectre Vision?
Yeah.
You have RS, room service?
No. And when I asked...
Oh, you didn't? Okay. I feel better then.
I called about room service.
Right.
They said, there's an Albertsons right next door.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. You said this on Friday.
I was next to a grocery store. I mean, the Ravens hooked me up to get a nicer, closer place to the downtown area.
Right. But, it was fine. I just feel, you had all that. You met a celebrity, and I just feel as though, I just wanted something. I wanted something
but
for free.
But if you had stayed...
And, when you want something for free, you got to give it to yourself.
But if you had stayed for Saturday,
and that's why I
you
could have
gone with me.
I was happy to get back and watch the Super Bowl on a great 119-inch screen.
Oh, would you
at Brady's Restaurant.
Okay, Aaron. All right, I tell you what.
It was fantastic. Did you so were the half-price burgers.
119 inches?
Yeah.
Shut up, you. By a schedule. We got a break. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Attention. Attention. News is dead. I repeat. News is dead, fuckhead. So is Powell. And those four guys from the East German All-Stars, your boys down at the bank, they're going to be a little late.
The Don and Mike Show. The leading cause of obesity in America, the Don and Mike Show.
Stand by, you animals. I promise we'll get to a phone scan before the buzz and the news comments part of the show.
Very good.
We've been all over Janet Jackson's breast today.
We were. Yeah.
We've seen the pictures. Listen, don't be fooled. If you hear that it was a pasty, if you hear that it was some kind of a cover-up...
It was a new product that I didn't know before the show started. It's a nipple shield.
It is, and you can see her big old brown, beautiful nipple sticking right through the middle of this thing that looks like the Solaris.
Yeah.
Our Mr. Sun.
There you go, and it's right there on her boob, and that's...
They could use that for the CBS Sunday Morning Show.
Yes.
Right. Justin Timberlake said that, quote, it was a wardrobe malfunction.
That's right.
I'm sure you've heard that before. CBS, our company... CBS deeply regrets the incident that occurred during the Super Bowl halftime show.
It's a press release out from Les Moonves said, great cans.
We attended all rehearsals during the week and there was no indication this would happen. We would like to apologize.
He come down with something.
The CBS switchboard was flooded with angry calls.
Yeah.
Her nipple was unexpected.
MTV's website, as of yesterday, was promising shocking moments during Janet Jackson's performance, and her choreographer also made comments that you're going to see a side of Jackson that you've never seen before, right?
So they knew it was coming.
So then the NFL guy, the old NFL president, Joe Brown, says,
well, they were totally inconsistent with assurances our office was given. It's unlikely.
Now, yesterday the NFL said,
we will never work with MTV again.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Here's their new quote.
It's unlikely that MTV will produce another Super Bowl halftime.
Yeah.
MTV.
You know what we're going back to now because of this. We're going to go back to Up With People.
Yeah. Let's see.
To honor America, Disney brings out the...
Justin Timberlake says it wasn't intentional and it's regrettable. Right. MTV promised Janet shocking moments. I'll bring in the website on my computer from earlier today, which has now been deleted, where MTV was bragging about this. And as we mentioned earlier, it's weird because CBS owns MTV.
You know,
it's a big circle jerk.
If this Super Bowl was in Brazil, it wouldn't matter.
No big deal.
It's a little booby.
But now that the FCC says they're going to investigate, suddenly Viacom spokespeople are not available for comment.
Listen, why doesn't the Infinity, which is CBS, which is Viacom, which is MTV, which is everyone, they just do what they always do. We respectfully decline.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's what they do.
Yeah.
Right.
I think they're making, I think everybody's making too big a deal of this.
It was a great moment. It was a great moment in Super Bowl history. It was a fantastic
remember
moment.
Remember that, what was that, Academy Awards where the guy streaked out next right. to Sammy Davis Jr.? It's right up there with that.
But this is even better.
This is
that.
Better because it was like part of a show.
It's a this woman. Is absolutely better than that.
He streaked David Niven. And David Niven said it's unfortunate that he must come out and show us all his shortcomings.
That's what the line was.
Hold on a second. As long as you're there, there was one note from the weekend I had to get to.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be a question.
Joe
Ardinger, would you mind coming into the studio for a second? World's oldest phone screener.
Come now.
Movie mogul. We'll have another of Joe's movies on the show this week.
Good.
The Joe Show.
Joe Ardinger.
Here he is, world's oldest phone screener, Joe. Now, I'm just acting as a third party.
Okay.
Passing on information to you. Tell me if these are true or false facts. And the whole time you've been working with the show, you've called Rob at home exactly how many times?
Once.
Counting Saturday, I believe once, yes.
So, the first call that you ever made to Rob Spiewak happened at a late hour on Saturday evening.
5
p.m. My wife tells me 11:26.
Oh, wow.
And
it was 10:26 in Houston.
I think we got a little perspective. Anybody listened to Buzz just there? Buzz said 5 p.m.
Well, that's when I got the call, apparently, I think.
Oh, I thought you were
according to my caller ID.
I just thought that was a late hour for you.
No.
And Joe, you didn't only call Rob, you called Cameron, too.
I called everybody on my phone book.
Okay, the question is, what were you doing?
I was pre-celebrating the Super Bowl.
Were you bombed?
I certainly was.
I gotta ask, the thing that had you in this mood, was it liquid? Was it gaseous? Was it a solid substance?
It was liquid.
Yeah. Liquid.
It
was liquid.
What was the nature of the call, Rob?
Why were you calling Rob?
Because he was in my phone book.
On the list.
Yeah, that was unfortunate, because I, too, had a long day, what with flying in from Houston and
right.
taking care of the kids, and I got... Rob! And I said, yeah? I mean, he woke me up. I said, it's Joe! I said, Joe, how are you?
Joe.
What are you doing? I said, well, I was sleeping. You're not in Houston anymore. No, I'm home and I'm in bed.
Now, did you, and you might not remember what motivated you to call. Did you call thinking Rob was maybe still in Houston?
Right, because I just talked to Charlie and Lisa.
Right.
And they were in
Houston. So you talked to Charlie and Lisa, you called Buzz, and you talked to Rob.
Yeah, and I called Cameron and...
going to check his outgoing calls, I guess.
And he is, and we were discussing this, Joe is moving super slow today.
Did you have a long day yesterday, Joe?
Not really.
Are you on Houston time?
Hey, where is Cameron here?
If he is, if he's within the set, he should come down, because he played me your message, which is great. You love
and, you know, Joe, you are doing your best Michael Landon impression, though, with that hair.
You like my hair, don't you?
It's Michael Landon, if he didn't wash his hair for a couple
Joe,
of days.
Joe, did you catch a shower this morning?
Yes, I did.
Why does it look wet?
I don't know.
What is this?
He's just looking at his cell phone right now.
You know, this is a radio show that we're doing.
Trying to figure out who Rob. I called.
Joe, come on. You're killing me here.
I called everybody.
Hey, everybody.
Yeah, you did. A
couple of guys named Greg, my brother. I didn't call Daryl.
Just because you were bombed.
Called Charlie.
Uh-huh. Now, this is a new phenomenon.
Called Cameron.
You're not a big drunk dialer, normally, are you? I know you called Ross Valerie, but that was...
But I didn't call him.
Number.
I didn't call him Saturday night.
I know.
Oh, good. All right. Well, thank you, Joe.
Thanks, Joe. Fascinating.
Rob had mentioned to me that you had called.
It was here's
late Cameron's coming in.
Don, are you feeling slighted, though? Would you like me to call you next time?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind being in your rotation,
yeah.
Joe.
No, call me.
All right, Cameron, do you have the message saved?
It's on my voicemail.
Oh, delightful.
Dial it up.
Fantastic.
Let's hear Drunk Joe.
And
this
Joe?
Is brief but rich, and it will illustrate the voice I got.
Joe, this should be
call
good.
Call me anytime. All right, well, I'll have to get you guys' numbers.
All right.
Yeah, because Rob said to me, Joe call you? I said, no. Why'd Joe call me? He called me. He was drunk.
The best part of it, when I actually talked to him live afterwards, it was very uncomfortable. He said, Cameron... I love you.
Well, after I hung up my cell phone, Carrie, you know, when you wake up, you always think someone's died.
Yes, right,
and she
right.
Goes, who is that? I said, it was Joe. He's drunk or high or something. I don't know. And that was all I said to Carrie until the next morning. She said, he called you at 11:26.
But I thought it might be 10:26 where you were.
But it was 11:26 where you were.
That's true.
Please.
All right, go ahead. Put your code in, Cameron, and here we go.
Here's the payoff.
Let's hear Joe's message.
One saved message.
Here we go.
First saved message from
Joe.
Received January 31st at 11:43 p.m.
Hey, stop calling. Stop talking to everybody in Houston. I want to talk to you and say, tell everybody in Houston I said, hey. Bag.
Play it again. Play it again.
Yeah, we must hear it again.
Man. Press 2. Can we race?
Press
7.
1 to play it again.
From
Joe.
Received January 31st at 11:43 p.m.
Joe.
To send a reply message, press 2.
No.
To erase, press 7.
No.
To save, press 9. Message saved. There are no more messages. Main menu. To listen to your message, press 1. First saved message.
Joe.
From
Joe.
Received January 31st at 11:43 p.m.
Here it is.
Hey, stop calling. Stop talking to everybody in Houston.
What?
I want to talk to you and say, tell everybody in Houston I said, hey. You fag.
And then you hear Joe laugh on the phone.
He laughs at himself.
Yeah.
Oh, that is great.
Nice.
Okay,
that
thank
is
you.
Man.
Thank you, Cam.
That's fantastic. Well, there's a little evidence.
And you wonder why you got all those twos and threes. That's why. Calling your boss at night drunk.
Rob, of course, is talking about the employee evaluation grade.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's why Rob doesn't drink.
Now, not so.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I could keep my phone hung up, though.
Thank you, Joe.
Get out of here. Nut. I think it's still in his system.
Alex Trebek was not driving drunk. However, Alex Trebek was in a car accident that was serious.
Oh, no.
The answer is no dose.
Oh, dear.
The question is, what should Alex Trebek have taken?
So he fell asleep at the wheel?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dear.
He was driving his pickup truck. Why do all these Hollywood people do this? Why do they all feel the need to move to the country and buy pickup trucks?
He has a horse farm.
So he's driving his pickup truck when he fell asleep, plowed into mailboxes.
Plus, you're always sticking up for Trebek.
He flew over an embankment.
Oh, no.
And landed in a ditch 40 feet away from the original impact.
Wow. Man, oh, man. Wow.
And anyway, he's back at taping the show tomorrow after escaping serious injury.
Was he ever in jeopardy?
When he fell asleep at the wheel.
Hi, everyone. This is Alex Trebek.
Hey, Alex.
Listening to Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara is really putting yourself in jeopardy. So I never do it.
And
Mr. Trebek,
wow. And of course, it's a chance for us to play the tape that we got, which is the great tape, which is the...
Hello! I think he was asleep when this tape was made, too.
And there was no editing of this tape. This was during an actual commercial session that Alex Trebek...
Well, they edited the part together when he does the dullers, dirty words.
But except for that, we've not put anything together. Here's Alex Trebek.
So keep watching Jeopardy 24 hours a day and call this number... Yeah, dumb son of a bitch. You don't watch it 24 hours a day. Hi, I'm Alex Trebek, and
son of a bitch.
Huh? Wait. Run that by me again. I don't understand that. I didn't pause.
He's wide awake here.
All right, let's start cutting. There's a daily cash prize of $1,000 and dollars. Ah, fuck.
Alex.
Son of a bitch. Somebody going to tell me why? Here's a little hint.
He flipped him off when he did that. Here's a little hint.
Pick up. Take one.
$25,000.
All on the same tape. How are they going to lose it? $25,000, $50,000, $25,000, $50,000, $100,000,
dollars.
Well, I'm not quite ready, so I'm going to do it now. Dollars. It's for you. No.
It's the real him.
Call now and play. Phone Jeopardy. You. And them, too.
thank God he's okay.
Alex Trebek.
Yeah. Thank God
he's wonderful okay. Alex
the national
Trebek.
Treasure.
Mike, KFC's having problems. What part of the world is it, Buzz, where they're having to replace the chicken with fish?
Throughout Asia, but especially in Taiwan.
The bird flu, Buzz? Yes. Is that what you're talking about? Mm-hmm.
Well, this is more bad news for KFC. And why they don't just call it Kentucky Fried Chicken? And I know we don't have time to play the tape now, but right. We have the Colonel Sanders tape, the most folks tape.
You know, if this comes up again, can I put a request in when you do have time to play that tape?
Yeah, you know, tomorrow,
it's my all-time favorite.
Well, play it as a rejoinder. The thing is like 5 minutes long.
It's delightful.
Anyway, more problems for Kentucky Fried Chicken. PETA is mad because they say, you know, this whole thing, but they don't treat the chickens right.
Right.
And
before they kill them.
PETA has...
before they kill them.
PETA has got Richard Pryor to do commercials for them. Now, Richard Pryor, the last time I checked on this dude, he was like Muhammad Ali.
Well, he was a fryer at one point, wasn't he?
He ate the chicken.
Then he set himself on fire?
Hey,
that's right.
Hey, there you go. You took your funny pills, Mike.
There you go.
That's good. Richard Pryor, who I think has problems speaking.
I believe
so.
Like,
he has MS or MD or something. Something. Like anyway, whatever he is, whatever it is, the problem is, he's not a vegetarian. Mm-hmm. Richard Pryor isn't. He enjoys food and meat.
Right.
I guess he's doing it for money. I want to see the commercials because I noticed yesterday during the Super Bowl, one of those spooky IBM commercials, the one that leads you to believe, like, this is all the Stanley Kubrick movie.
Right.
The one with the little kid where it just says, he knows everything.
Yeah, what was that, the white-haired kid?
Yeah, he's sitting there with Muhammad Ali, and Muhammad Ali actually says a sentence, something like, you know, IBM is good, or whatever it is that he says. But you know that they had to sit him down for God knows how long to get him to say just the sentence.
Well, you remember that Christopher Reeve commercial that they had a few years back when they had him walk? Yeah. They can do amazing things with the computers.
And a lot of people thought he was actually cured.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of idiots that were out there going, hey, look at that.
And don't forget that also as they introduced the halftime, they had Muhammad Ali saying, choose.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. With that ridiculous montage.
They're trying to get as much out of him as they can.
Anyway, Richard Pryor, poor Richard Pryor, groundbreaking comedian, did a lot for the drug community, and here he is now.
But he's not timely.
Calling for the boycott of Kentucky Fried Chicken, simply, I think, so he can get some more money.
Well, I think they'd do better if they get somebody who's more in the headlines. I think they should have gone with Stephen Hawking.
And I did just say that he was a spokesman for the drug community. Finger lick him good. Never had a better spokesperson. Mike, hold on. Here you go. Was Naomi Judd trash-talking Larry King's wife?
Mm.
I got this story here somewhere.
Now, Naomi's the mom.
Yeah.
Winona's the big fat one.
And Winona's the one that just, speaking of DWI.
She just got a DUI.
She's the one that just got one, right?
Right.
Hold on. I'll come back to that because I'm running out of time here. I got so much stuff I wanted to bring. Did you know that Katharine Hepburn was a lesbian?
No. Well, I mean, but I guess if you look at the way she dressed.
Well, she was bi.
She kind of did the Ellen DeGeneres thing with her clothes all those years.
A new biography of Katharine. You're my knight.
You're my knight in shining armor.
I'll go down and lick it.
The loon's known. Dive, dive, dive.
Lick it. Eat it.
Touch it. Rub it.
Suck it.
Rub it. Make it feel good.
Okay, she apparently
says.
She was a lipstick lesbian. She liked guys, but she liked girls, too.
Right. She wasn't all that much of a lipstick lesbian.
She banged Judy Garland. Greta Garbo.
Wow.
And Judy Holliday.
Banged.
She banged them.
It just doesn't sound right.
And this new book also says that she flirted with Eleanor Roosevelt.
Oh, you.
During the darkest days of WW2.
Wow.
Which led to a series of love letters between the two. Lesbian love letters.
Talk to it until it becomes engorged.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, you never know, you know?
Rob, help me find this story. I lost the story about what?
Naomi Judd and
Larry King. And Larry King.
And Sean King.
Yeah, Larry King.
Sean Southwick King.
Drew Barrymore has this movie coming out with Adam Sandler, and it's one of these movies that yesterday during the Super Bowl, it's one of those where they sponsored it, and It's like
amazing.
Going into and out of commercials, you would see the logo with the whole big thing. So they're doing a giant.
If I see, you know, Drew Barrymore beating up that guy one more time with a stick.
Well, I think you're going to like this story because now all of the stuff's coming out about Adam Sandler, how sensitive he is, blah, blah, how great she is. Well, Drew Barrymore, let's see, 51st Dates is the movie. Okay, so you say that and you're allowed to read the quote. She was married to a guy named Jeremy Thomas. She was married to Tom Green. She says, this is a quote now, you have to look at yourself. Is there any one way to be on a date? Because they asked her, you know, hey, what's it like going on a date? Because your movie is 51st Dates.
Right.
And she said, quote, I spit on dates. I fart on dates. I just let it go. Just be yourself.
Isn't she lovely?
Now listen, have
Does
we not...
she cement her status as a total pig?
Have we not said for years and years and years...
So gross.
And we're the vocal minority on that. And listen, all girls...
What is...
all girls fart. We know that.
I looked at the trailer when I went to see Mystic River last week, and I looked at the ad yesterday, and I look at her, and I'm like... She doesn't even look like a movie star. It's not like she even takes the time to pretty herself up to be in a movie.
So anyway, she farts, and now here's.
I bet she does, and I bet they're bad.
I bet
they're wet.
You know they're beavers. Oh, I don't know. I'm not a ton. We want to get to your calls on the phone, Skin. Let me Naomi Judd, uh-huh. Who's not the big fat one. The
yes,
good
she's the mom, right?
Let me see. Larry King was mad when Naomi Judd said that Larry King's wife is shallow.
That's
this,
great.
This bulletin just in. She was on Larry King's show discussing how women are obsessed with youth and beauty. She simultaneously, now both at the same time, made a pitch for her own line of beauty products and dissed Sean Southwick King.
How did she do it? Did she just come out and say it or
here's,
what?
Here's the quote.
Good.
We've got it so backwards about our obsession with youth and beauty. I started a skincare line called Esteem, so I can literally have a tangible manifestation of this philosophy and be vicariously alone with a woman. Sean, your wife, get her in the bathroom. Get her to look in the mirror of truth and start being defined from within. Tell Sean to start figuring out who she is. The number one cause, Larry, of mental illness is not knowing who you are.
Wow. Wow, duh.
Wow. Larry said nothing. His jaw dropped. Boy, would I love a tape of that. Everybody's got a tape of that.
I love to hear that.
So she's saying...
Naomi, are you saying my wife is shallow?
Naomi Judd is going on this show saying we're a country that's obsessed with beauty, and that's bad. But incidentally, I have a line of products
of course.
Which will help. And, oh yes, Larry, especially women like your wife.
Right, have her look in the mirror and wow. See every line.
That's
strange.
Pretty great. You know, I hate to give you any bit of news that maybe makes you feel sympathetic towards Larry King.
But that's pretty harsh right there. I can understand him get a little peeved.
We got plenty more, but we got to move on now because we have to talk to you.
It's been all day, Don.
All day. Let's do this thing, this all day sucker. Let's take your calls right now.
Amen.
On the rotating random phone scan. No phone screening here. You just get on the line to get on the air. Phone number 877-365-3636. It's not an adult swim. Anyone can jump in the pool right now.
Amen.
Phone scan is lying straight ahead.
Is the Don and Mike Show.
Caller, you on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Speak up, please. Good morning.
Sorry. I laid the phone down.
That's all right.
Oh, that was a long vacation. It was like being on hold for 9 days.
That happens.
Yeah. You know, looking at, a lot of this, if you use as an example, if you watch the MTV Music Awards.
Right.
People that came up on stage, you could see the way they paired people off. And I'd like to do something different. And after I mention the Don and Mike Show, I'd like to pretend that I'm on the Music Awards and say,
get another caller. See, that's why we need a 7-second delay. That's a darn shame. And see, the thing of it is, I actually like the Don and Mike Show. So, for those of us who don't know, anyway, I really like those guys.
The Don and Mike Show.
It's raining yellow.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
What's up, Bob? How you doing? The Don and Mike Show.
Jumbo. We heard you were at a great party last night.
It's raining yellow.
Hey,
sounds like fun.
I understand it was GSB, right? Golden Showers Broadcasters.
It's raining yellow.
He was there. His brother was there.
Soaking.
And then afterwards, somebody had this to say at the Super Bowl party.
Erections lasting longer than 4 hours, though rare, require immediate medical help.
Right.
You're fine at 3.5 hours, though.
Okay, you ready for a phone scan?
I am indeed.
Yeah. Pop it in, Rob. The music, that is. Oh. 877.
I thought you were, you know, saying something to him personally.
365-4636.
Pop it in.
Well, you know, I've got six decks here with these tapes, and as fast as I'm taking the tapes out,
right.
He's putting tapes in, and some of them...
So you pull it out, and he slides it in.
You just did that. Put that one back in again. Good. Now,
it's raining yellow.
There you go. 877-365-3636 from anywhere in America.
That'll all be fixed once we go digital.
Shut up. Canada, 800-636-1067. DC 202-432-1067. Here we go with the phone scan. Hi, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Yes. Good evening, gentlemen. How you doing?
Hi, we're doing great, thanks.
I've got that MTV quote that you were looking for. I got it offline from a non-Viacom news website, but they've got that quote.
All right, now listen, here's what I was talking about earlier, and thanks for the help on this. That earlier today when I... was looking on the net for stuff for the show, I saw that CBS had apologized, the NFL was mad,
right?
But MTV had something on their website which was kind of saying, F you.
Yeah, look what a good show we put on.
And the part that I wanted to bring to everybody's attention is that CBS owns MTV.
Right.
So for CBS to apologize while MTV was saying,
right.
F you.
So you're saying you think it's fixed?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then when I asked Buzz to look at the website when we got on the air, MTV had already changed
it. They changed it.
They changed it to apologize. So what did it originally say?
Let's listen to the old one and then the new one.
Yeah.
All right, well, here's the headline and then the blurb. The headline is, quote, Janet Jackson got nasty at the MTV-produced Super Bowl halftime show. Continuing, the webpage says, quote, jaws across the country hit the carpet at exactly the same time. You know what we're talking about, .. Janet Jackson, Justin Timberlake, and a kinky finale that rocked the Super Bowl to its core.
Wow.
Now, this was up.
They sound proud.
Thank you. You know, that's really great help. Thank you. That was up.
You're welcome.
That was up as late as 1 o'clock. If you're listening on the East Coast,
that's the route they were going. They weren't making any, you know, statements about it. They were just saying, hey, it was fantastic.
I saw that at my house before 1 o'clock when I left to come to work and just wrote myself a note. Go to MTV.com because I'm sure it would be there. By the time we got here, Buzz, are you on MTV now?
I am.
What does it say?
They're backpedaling. They've freshened the news release now to include an apology from Janet Jackson, something we've not had today until now.
Wow.
But they now say the incident was unintentional and all parties involved apologize to anyone who was offended.
But just know the truth.
Change their tone.
That right.
They were all excited until obviously... The heat started coming down.
Right.
They should be forced to apologizing to working in the song Mickey by Tony Basil. This was a crime against humanity.
Yes, oh, and I almost forgot the commercials I hated the most. Those dudes from the Monster Garage.
Yes. Yeah. Yes,
they sucked. I mean, forget the fact that we had a feud with AOL about our contest.
Right.
Yuck. My friend, listen, for coming up with that information, I got something for you. What's your name?
My name is Brian.
Brian, where are you from?
I'm from Severna Park.
Beautiful. So you're listening on?
On 105.7.
Right, in Baltimore. You've won the American Wedding prize pack. American Wedding, watch it tonight on Comcast Cable in the demand pay-per-view. Watch for your chance to win a room full of furniture from Ashley Furniture. Plus, do you have a mom, a grandma?
Yeah, I do. Right, I have both.
And you're very close to them?
Yes.
Well, you got
not extremely close.
You're going to have to select the one, your mom or your grandmom.
Get closer.
For your closest to.
My grandmom can't move that well, so I'd select my mom.
Well, then for your mom, you've won the sensual pajamagram.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I hate to leave the grandma out, especially if she's not moving.
Mom.
Send a pajamagram for any occasion. Call 1-800-GIVE-PJs or go to pajamagram.com.
They're easy to slide on.
Thank you. You are a great audience. You are a great caller.
Thank you.
And the silk makes a move.
Yeah, you can slide them right up there.
Slide them right in and off.
Just lift her up a little bit.
Thanks. Hold on. That's a good call.
You guys are great.
Thank you for doing the MTV
She can have the chocolate.
That was very nice.
You know what I mean.
Okay, get out of here. Hello. Don and Mike show. Phone scan. Hello.
Hello?
You're on the air.
How you doing, Don and Mike?
We're doing great.
This is Mike from Sacramento. The first caller just took my fire about your quote. Okay. But I do want to say one thing. As far as the Janet Jackson thing, that was excellent. That was the best part of the Super Bowl for me,
agreed,
seeing as I was pulling for Carolina. But,
right,
Mike,
yes,
I want to tell you, I empathize with you and your airport situation, except for I went to jail. What happened to me is they searched all my bags and everything out and had my underclothes all over as if I was a Middle Eastern American, and I let them know how I feel. I am an African American, and I said, hey, you're not going to go through my S, you know what else, like I'm just any old body. I pay taxes, I fly all the time, and I don't have a criminal record, so you need to be checking those other people.
And they locked you up for it?
Yeah, they gave me they ended up dropping the charges, but it was obstruction of justice.
There you go. It's a white man coming down on the black
man. So they took you and put you in jail, huh?
But yeah, they held me in one of the little holding cells at the Sacramento airport, because I'm from Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
They called.
Of course you are.
they held me in one of the holding cells at the airport, and then Sacramento County Sheriff came and got me, and I stayed in a Sacramento County jail for about...
If you don't know, this guy's very long-winded. Mike, and he told it so much more eloquently and really crystallized it.
It was obviously a different scenario.
Mike left his bag in the airport and walked away.
Trying to give directions to Carl, I left the bag down, and they were not happy with me leaving my bag unattended, as they should not have been happy.
Anyway, now forgive me if I screw up your last name. Lieutenant Governor Bustamante, thank you for the call.
Thanks so much.
Goodbye. Hello. Did I get the name right?
Yes, Bustamante.
Bustamante.
Right.
Hello.
And when are we as Americans going to stop picking on people from Sacramento?
I agree.
Don and Mike, hello.
Don and Mike?
Right, hi.
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 And hi, Buzz.
Hi.
This is a guy pretending to be a girl.
I'm sorry, it's not.
No, it sounds like a girl.
Yeah, it's a girl.
It sounds like she's all girl and she's talking to Buzz.
All woman.
I think it's a guy, but go ahead.
I need you to do something for me.
Now she sounds like a girl.
Yeah.
What?
I want you to put the 4-hour erection tape with the Dean screen, and then follow up with a touch of Joe Gibbs. Can you do that?
Okay, hold on.
Is that going to work for you if we do that?
Give it a try.
All right, so you want...
All right, what is it you want?
Erection?
You want the erection?
The erection. And Howard erection. Dean, and then Joe Gibbs laughing?
Then just a little Joe Gibbs gibble.
All right, hold on. Here you go, honey. Do you have your panties pulled down, or are you all set for this?
Yes.
Ah! What was that? You know what that was?
What was that?
That was vindication of my spider sense.
No.
Yep. That this is a guy.
That's scary. That might be a girl
this
talking
is a
with
guy.
A deep voice.
No, it's a guy. It's a guy. I'm telling you, it's a penis.
What was that low voice you did?
It's. I'm like you, Mike. I'm gifted in the throat.
I'm telling you. I listen, kids, here's my message.
Wait, I want to hear the low voice again.
First, get a good education.
That's right.
Second,
say something in your low voice.
What would you like me to say?
Never.
Now you're doing that as a girl. Wait a minute. Now, Don, hold on.
Never go away from your gut instinct.
Wait a minute. I think it's a girl that's doing the low voice.
Still unclear.
What
is that low voice thing you did? Why did you do that?
I don't know. I'm nervous.
Guy, sometimes it's a guy. I'll play the tape. Here
play
you go.
Tape. Give it a try.
Here you go. You want the erection tape, then Howard Dean, then Joe Gibbs.
Yeah.
Here you go.
Erections lasting longer than 4 hours, though rare, require immediate medical help.
Is that what you wanted?
That's good.
Uh-huh.
Okay, thanks.
Well, wait a minute. Where are you going?
Yeah, we want some explanations.
Yeah, well, what do we get in return?
What
here?
The hell is wrong with you?
Nothing. I just thought it would all sound pretty good together.
Do your low voice again.
Why?
I want to hear it.
Don't your balls itch, sir?
Do it again. Come on, please.
What shall I say?
Something like, hi, Donna, Mike, and Buzz.
Say my balls itch.
Hey, Donna, Mike, Buzz.
See, I can't do it.
It's not the same as before, and I know it's because I've busted you because you are a guy calling as a girl.
If you are a guy, we'd appreciate it very much. You know, no repercussions. We just want to hear you talk like a guy.
It's a guy.
I'm not.
No, come on.
I can't, apparently. I can't.
What's your name?
I'm not going to tell you because my son might be listening.
Yeah. Liar, liar. Liar, liar.
I think it's a
men's
girl.
Liar, liar.
I think
men's,
it's a woman.
Men's slacks on fire.
It's a woman.
Dockers on fire.
It's a woman.
You still think it's a man?
Yeah. We don't have time now to go back and replay the tape where the brief man voice actually came in. But I know what's going on.
That's like an exorcist voice.
I know what's going on there. Watch out for Jock Itch.
Thank you.
Goodbye, sir.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I was really, even though I think it's a woman, I was waiting up there.
Yeah.
Bye.
Hello. Don and Mike, phone scan. Hello.
Hello. Happy Groundhog Day.
Now, this right. is a woman.
Here you go. You're on the air.
How you doing, guys?
Hi, honey.
What's your little pretty head worried about now?
Well, actually, I just recently got engaged to my girlfriend of 3 years.
Right.
And I'm looking for advice.
So you called us.
You know,
well, yeah.
Why do people look for advice from really, why would you want advice from anybody in this room? All three of us that are currently married are hanging on by our fingernails, and Mike over there is going out with. Now I'm Mike. You know what?
What?
I'm out of underage teen stars.
Oh, okay.
Hillary Duff.
I already used Hillary Duff.
Oh, right. It's the same. Well, you're not going to get any help over here.
Yeah, well, why are you looking for help here?
Well, I just respect you guys. You know.
Well, that's nice. What?
Been around the block.
What questions can we answer for you?
How do I deal with all of this crazy planning stress?
Prenup. There you go.
I think you're going to find Mike has pretty much one standard answer. Yeah. Let me ask you, Mike, the wedding day is always a big deal. What do you recommend? The band
prenup.
Early? Mike, what about the option of pulling up in front of the place you're getting married in a horse and a carriage?
You can put it in the prenup. You think I'm kidding?
And I do have another one now, and this one does come from Rob.
Yes, okay.
Because it is so
obscure. All right, I'll set you up for it. Who picked me up at the airport? Who was supposed to pick me up at the airport?
Madeline Sweetin.
Who's that? Who the hell is
that's
that?
That's the girl who plays the daughter on Everybody Loves Raymond.
Oh, my God.
Shut up, Rob.
How do you know that, Rob?
God damn.
That's
yeah, how does he know that?
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Check his save
Don
website.
And Mike.
Hey, you're on the air. Hi.
Don and Mike, Radio God.
Howdy.
Hey, so the guys that you were interviewing for Monster Garage, not American Chopper, did you know who his wife is?
Mm-mm.
Jesse James?
Janine, the Vivid Girl. You blew an opportunity to interview him about
Who's
that.
Who's the Vivid Girl?
Janine Lindemalder. She was like a lesbian porn star.
I think she's done the show.
Maybe
all
she
of
has.
Us. I think she's done.
Oh, you mean like Vivid Video?
Yeah, Vivid Video.
So Jesse James is married to a porn star?
Yes.
I'm sure that whore was here. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, we're doing great. We all did it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did. It was great.
Gigantic.
It was fantastic. It lasted 4 hours.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're doing great, thanks.
Good. Listen, guys, would you please get your asses up here to Canada, do some appearances?
Sure.
You've got tons of fans up
here. Done. That's going to happen.
Yeah,
I'd love
right.
To see you guys down here.
Count on that.
Done and done.
Count on that.
Why not?
We're coming.
All right, good. Toronto.
Pardon me?
Toronto.
We're coming to Toronto.
He's requested
Toronto.
We put Toronto on our itinerary.
I'd love to go to Toronto.
Yeah. We're not even on in Canada. Were you listening on...
You guys, we got you from WB. We get you from a Buffalo station, which sucks, but we get you guys good enough. Trust me, you guys got tons of fans down here. All my buddies, everyone at work, so we all listen to you guys.
See?
Huge fans.
Do you see?
All right, thank you. Thank you. All right. Well,
that's very nice
okay.
of you.
Very nice.
My Canadian brother.
All right, bye-bye. Thank you.
All right, see
you.
Yeah,
guys.
See ya. Bye-bye. When are we going to Canada, Don?
Never. Oh, right after we go back to Sacramento, Mike.
Okay.
How's that?
Hey, I'll accept that.
Hello, Don and Mike. What, Robbie?
He's just getting ready to invade. That's
hello.
What you're doing
another fellow Canadian.
Another Canadian guy. Hello.
Another fellow Canadian.
Look at this.
Hi there.
There's a horror story from the Toronto airport.
All right, go ahead.
Coming back from the Super Bowl and left my bag, went to the washroom. My girlfriend leaves her bag as well. Didn't realize I left mine there, so she grabbed hers, left mine by itself. I come back, no bag. Airport security is calling for my name. Come see them. Blah, blah, blah. They find a bunch of fruit in a bag that I brought from the hotel.
Uh-oh.
They kept me there for 9 hours.
Yeah.
9 hours.
My
ass is swollen.
Wow.
The rubber glove theory, boys. The rubber glove.
Are you kidding?
Did the body cavity search?
BCS?
The body cavity.
Wow,
they gave him
the body cavity.
Find
how
any more
severe
fruit?
Is that?
They gave him the BCS.
Well, just because he brought
yeah,
a couple...
I had a banana. They could have used that. It would have been easier.
Out of here. Thank you for the call. Hello, Don and Mike show. Phone scan.
Good afternoon, my radio buddy.
Hey, my friend.
Come
hey,
over. I have the video from the streaker in the Super Bowl. This is East Coast Bob.
Now, East Coast Bob
will really? Be on his website now.
Do you really? How did you
yeah.
get that if it wasn't on TV, East Coast Bob?
It was right from the field level. Channel 7, KABC in L.A. had it, and I took it from them.
All right, Buzz, if you will go, this guy's always been a friend of the show. Go to EastCoastBob.com.
Made a rock and roll, that's big.
Yeah, it was number 58 that knocked the guy on his ass.
Number 58 for the Patriots.
Yeah, linebacker.
Right. Thank you, East Coast Bob.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Man, he's always thinking.
You want to see the streaker? Go there.
Great.
Hello, Don and Mike Show, phone scan.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey.
Hey, did you watch the Janet Jackson yesterday at the halftime?
I have no idea. Do you have any idea what he's talking about, Mike?
Now, Janet Jackson didn't perform at the Super Bowl.
No, but I'm saying, did you see the top of that ass?
I don't know. I don't even know what you're talking about.
No.
Excuse me?
Hello. Up. Where do people get this?
Don and Mike Show. Hello. Oh, there's a... Hey! Buzz pulled it up at EastCoastBob.com. John Casey, the kicker of the Panthers, is standing right there looking at that guy from England running on the field in his thong.
Now, is it a moving picture or is it just a still? I've just found a still, but he said he had the video, so I'll keep looking.
Okay. Anyway, it's EastCoastBob.com. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Oh. Yeah, I got to add a fourth F to the feed 'em, F 'em, and forget 'em line.
No, it's actually it's a four F's. It's find 'em, feel 'em, F 'em, forget 'em.
Right. Well, the guy that you had on for the Mommy's Book or something. Well, for the Super Bowl, we did a feed 'em, F 'em, football, forget 'em.
Now, Mike, come on now.
Jeez.
Come on. Are you there, darling?
Ma'am?
I wanted to give you a prize, darling.
Nice lady?
I'm sorry Mike scared you away.
Give me the prize.
So you want the prize?
What do we get? What did I get because I laughed her away?
Your enthusiasm.
That's going to be the title of my book, incidentally. Laughing Them All Away. I laughed them all away.
That was Carol Leifer.
She's good.
I laughed them all away. We need one more call for the prize. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hey, phone scan. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, what's up?
Did you guys see the picture? It's on the Drudge Report.
The picture of what?
Of Janet's right breast.
Again, no idea what you're talking about.
It's
a 4-hour show, you dick. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, it's Joe there.
Yeah, pardon? How you
He's
doing?
He's a fag.
This is Joe.
Hey, you know that? We need no more than that.
My friend, you've won the Curb Your Enthusiasm prize pack. You're the last call on the phone scan. Don't miss TV's Best Night of Comedy. You won the box set of the first season of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
You can't be a little dink.
You can't say the S word.
What's wrong with you?
What the hell Sorry, is man.
Wrong with you? Are you
high?
No.
Cut it out.
No, bro.
Said it again. The guy just said, your show is great.
You That's great S.
Great S.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news.
Laughing them away. It's me.
He made it up.
And but you're like, I heard you like the soup Nazi.
Yeah.
No prize for you.
No prize for
you. No prize for you.
That kind of behavior will not be rewarded.
Right.
No
prize for you. Guys said the S-bomb twice. Now he made us laugh. Yeah. Buzz, what is your lead on the news and comments today?
Patriots fans tear up the town.
Yeah, now that's an American tradition.
That's absolutely. Right. Burn it.
That's an American tradition.
Stay tuned for news and comments coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show.
Grab it by the base and light it on fire.
That's some good ass, man. Now, that was all very
professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Bow to their capricious whims,
yeah.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Let me mention, before we go to Buzz, Buzz's news brought to you by Viramax Sexual Pleasure Performance Enhancer.
Someone called for a doctor?
Clinically tested, doctor-developed Viramax works. Get it at Rite Aid, GNC, other select retailers. Try it today. Viramax 1-AAA. Try VMAX. Tomorrow on the show, we're going to get this guy on. Maybe you heard him last week. Guy's name was John Murray, and as I recall,
I took it hook, line, and sinker, and he was wrong. I laid down some money on the Panthers, and I got burned.
This was the guy. Remember the guy we had on the show with the Murray Performance Index?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Remember we gave him a hard time, like not in our fake voices, us.
Mm-hmm.
We as
the Don and Mike Show.
You know, and there I was believing in my fellow man again, where I just get burned and burned again, and I can't laugh them all away.
Let's see. Carolina's pressure index was 562. The Patriots were 482. Uh-huh. That means Carolina executes better under pressure. And according to Dr. Murray, Carolina will win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
We had this guy on the show last week.
Right.
We'll call him tomorrow.
Very good.
On Martz with nice.
He owes me some money.
Nice job. Here's Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Well, at least one person is dead and several injured as New England Patriots fans celebrate yesterday's last-minute Super Bowl win. Thousands of people swarmed into the streets of Boston after the game, and some of them turned over cars and set small fires. One person was killed as an SUV backed into a crowd. The driver, not Lizzie Grubman, this time, has been arrested. There have been several other arrests as well. A TV station covering the celebrating got one of its vans vandalized, and the crew had to be escorted to safety by police. The city's planning an official rally in downtown Boston on Tuesday, but quoting one police official, it's time we take a hard look at how we have a good time in this city.
Listen, it's American tradition.
It is, kind
of. It's what you do. Your team wins the Super Bowl or wins the NBA or wins the Final Four, you burn down the city. Come
American,
on.
Yeah.
It's an American tradition.
Come on. It's not like that streaker. Well, even with the nudity, and more on the nudity at the end of this report. The
you
ratings,
said moron.
Yes. The ratings for Super Bowl 38 were only slightly better than they were last year. Still, more than 89 million people watched the game. CBS says at various points as many as 140 million people were watching.
CBS.
It was the most watched game since the 1998 Super Bowl between Green Bay and Denver.
Come over.
And this year's viewers no doubt stayed with the game until the very end and beyond. We were wondering about this earlier because of the extra late start for the new Survivor.
Right.
It turns out that it had the highest overnight rating for a post-Super Bowl program since the network launched Survivor Australia the night after the 2001 Super Bowl.
So people did stay up and watch.
They did.
Because I was saying to Frida, as the game went on and it looked like it was going to overtime,
right.
I said, you know, there's no way they're going to get Survivor in. I said,
what's the point?
It's got to. If they don't get Survivor on by 10:30,
right?
Last night I was saying,
right, call it a
they're
day.
Screwed. I think Survivor came on at about 10 till 11,
right? That's
and
right.
I watched until Richard Hatch was naked for the first time, and that's when I
can't believe it did that kind of number.
So neat.
I wanted to go to sleep, but Frida kept it on, and I actually semi-consciously watched and listened to the
amazing
whole
first time. That's still hanging in there.
Keep in mind, folks, you're going to have people in Central Time.
Friends.
On the mountains.
Friends, welcome to Houston.
Houston,
friends.
Everybody, you got to watch the great show.
My comb over.
Look at it. Don't throw that peanut.
Look at that nipple. How about that nipple right here on CBS?
We had a streaker. We had a nipple. It's been a great Super Bowl. Beautiful time here in Houston. My hometown, incidentally, where I had the opening ceremonies party.
Friends, it's Jim Nance. I'm here to pound sand.
Yes.
Friends.
Get bent.
Friends, it would be great if you could see the piece I did with Yanni.
I understand Don Geronimo told me to get bent on Friday.
That's clever.
I understand his partner had a great deal of fun telling all his friends that Don said that to him.
Blubbermouth.
See that man? Don told him to get bent.
Get bent. Pound sand.
Get bent.
That was the best.
I love that moment.
Continental Airlines grounded two flights yesterday, including one just before the game from Washington to Houston.
What?
Yeah.
Didn't you know this?
U.S.
I knew the Continental grounded flights. I didn't know it was from Washington to Houston.
Yeah, one of them, just before the game, that was. U.S. intelligence officials say the threats appear to have no actual connection to the game, where thousands of fans were protected by a no-fly zone. But officials say the flights were canceled because of the content of some new terrorist chatter, as it's called. There have been a series of threat-related flight cancellations since Christmas Eve. The rest were international flights. Experts say terrorists have not given up on using airliners as weapons.
I'm sure that they're right and they're doing the correct thing, and nobody complains when a flight is canceled because they've heard chatter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just curious now, at some point, where are we getting the chatter? I imagine it's either through the internet.
That's right.
But mostly. What if it's really like they're listening on a cell phone and some guy's saying, hey, Allah, hey, listen, here's the deal.
Right.
There is a flight from what? And I'm not doing the right act.
You know, the thing is, what worries me is when this goes public.
Right.
I think they ought to keep it quiet. I really do. And I think if they are getting decent intelligence on these flights that they're planning to mess around with,
mm-hmm.
they shouldn't release that to the media. They
well, do you know that yesterday...
Cancel a flight, say it's engine trouble, and that's it.
At the Houston airport yesterday, as we were getting on the airplane mm-hmm. to fly back to D.C.,
right.
As we were all getting in before... And I'll say this, it was before we could run off the plane.
Mm-hmm.
They had shut the doors, and that's when the stewardess said... at least the people that I was sitting around, she said, we're all very lucky to be getting out of Houston. That I think that they're not going to allow a flight from Washington in here today, and they had second thoughts about letting this flight
right.
leave because there was a problem with the return flight mm-hmm, coming mm-hmm. back. So we were lucky to get out of there.
Yeah,
but even if it had been canceled,
do you agree though? If these people, if Al Qaeda is really doing this, and they're trying to figure out who their mole is, who their sources are, that when it's broadcast to everybody, that's how they find out.
Yeah, I think they pick most of it up off the internet, is what I've heard. Anyway. Mm-hmm.
And you can believe everything on the internet.
That's right. Barry Manilow is in a Palm Springs hospital after being rushed there with chest pains.
Don, it's going to be all right. Don, come on. Come on, get yourself
just
together.
Just the bastard, Bob. Now I have this story, and I told you I wasn't going to do that.
We've got a little more show to do, Don. Try to keep it together.
It happened Saturday after Manilow.
He's going to be all right.
You know why it happened?
Why?
Because it was something to do with a... Well, you have the story, silly. It's under the rights of the song.
Give us
the story, bitch.
It happened after Manilow returned from New York.
This is too happy, Rob. Give me some sad Manilow.
I don't have
it. Mandy is pretty
then
sad.
Give me nothing.
Manilow was there fighting in New York, that is, fighting in court over a musical he's co-written. And although the play is called Harmony, it's been anything but that.
It's called, in the ninth, the name of the play is called
Chest Pain.
That would sell.
Clay Aiken, I want to cornhole you.
In fact, Manilow's publicist says the chest pains came at the end of, quote, two of the most grueling days of arbitration over the lawsuit. The musical story takes place during the Third Reich and opened in California to mixed reviews.
Hold on, you mentioned Third Reich.
There's so much going on,
Rob,
in this story.
What are you doing? You come running over here right away. Oh, I see. Never mind. He's doing something else.
Friends, our prayers go out to Barry Manilow and his wife, if he has one. This is Jim Nance.
You go ahead and laugh. Sorry, I'm upset about Barry Manilow.
Sorry about that.
The son of a former vice president is on probation after getting busted on pot charges. 21-year-old Albert Gore III was arrested December 19th during a traffic stop in Bethesda, Maryland. The officer smelled pot, and a search turned up one joint and a cigarette box that appeared to have some pot inside. The young Gore and his two passengers were each charged with one count of possession. Today, the young Gore was sentenced to a year's probation with 3 months of weekly urine tests, 24 hours of community service, 4 educational seminars, and 2 counseling sessions.
How did Joe get out of that thing? Because wasn't Joe partying with him that
Joe
night?
Joe was in the car.
Yeah.
The young Mr. Gore also has to avoid being convicted on any other criminal charges for the next year.
Me and my buddies, Boomer, Dan, and Dion, we all pass on grass.
Good for you, Jim.
Thank you.
In Chicago, people, especially parents, are being warned about the drug-laced lollipops. Dropops, as they're known on the city's west side, sell for $10 a pop and contain marijuana and PCP.
Why do they call them dropops?
Dropops, I don't know. I don't know if that's short for drug or...
D-R-O?
D-R-O.
Dropops.
Dropops.
Well, and
their
kids that might get them and stuff?
That's what police say they're especially concerned about, is that a child might see this and think it's candy.
Right.
Disney.
Joe might see it. And like knock somebody over getting to it.
Disney.
And then call at 11:30. How are things in Houston?
What are they called?
Dropops.
Dropops.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you right now, the Azalea Line fairways of Augusta really look good on Dropops. Thank you, Buzz.
Thank you, Jim.
My radio buddies, Don and Mike, Boomer, Dion, Dan.
The last time I checked, weeds were something you pulled out of your backyard, ladies and gentlemen.
Dandelions. That's what I think of weed. Don't like to hurt the dandelion radio.
Friends, Jim Nance. Why do you think they call it dope?
It's dope, okay? Just say no.
That's right, Jim.
The words of the great Nancy Reagan.
Friends, Jim Nance.
Jim Nance here. The beautiful stadium, Reliance Stadium. All the pageantry. There's a naked breast. Oh, my God.
Friends.
Give me my drop pop.
Jim Nance, I've just soiled myself.
It's raining yellow.
I know.
The yellow rain coming down on top of Greg Gumbel and Phil Sims.
Friends.
My radio buddies, Don and Mark.
Jim Nance. Friends, Jim Nance. Standing in the upper rafters. Let one go.
That's right. It's raining yellow. Thank you, Greg. I'm up here at the top of Reliance Stadium, my number one, cascading down on all the patrons, the fine people trying to enjoy Houston as they're showered with bits of Nance.
Arlo.
My number three.
Arlo will tell us why they're called Dropops.
Oh, good.
Arlo.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey.
Good reefer is
grown hydroponically, and a slang term for it is dro, like hydro. And the pods contain THC.
Well, I'll tell you this, my young druggy friend, I will not, in fact, get bent. What do you think of that?
Pound sand, Jim.
Pound sand. Time to go. Back to Reliance Stadium and my hydroponically grown pod. It's good stuff here. Don't you think so, Boomer, Dion, Dan?
It's raining yellow.
Raining yellow. Yes, sirree. That's time for my test.
All right. Drow Pop, get out of here.
Drow Pop.
Goodbye.
Disney has been fired. After finding success with Finding Nemo, Disney has now lost its deal with the company that brought it computer-animated hit cartoons.
Pixar?
And
Pixar.
This is what is so great, because Pixar really was carrying
money. Yeah.
Disney. I mean, you know, they slapped that Walt Disney signature
at the
on
beginning.
It.
But that's really an independent studio.
That's right.
But really what Disney is all about now is not that I'm not all-American, not that I didn't think The Miracle on Ice was great, but have you seen the awful commercials? What, you got a joke? What is it?
Armin Katane, can you see my balls?
The commercials.
I love that Pixar animation. Finding Nemo.
I know you did,
Toy Story, and all the good ones. Yeah.
That's right.
Ice Age. Ice Age, is that Pixar?
No. Bugs Life, though.
Bugs Life, yeah. Terrific stuff.
Monsters, Inc.
Great, Monsters, Inc. Good products.
What about Monsters Ball? Did you see that one?
Stained with yellow.
Did you see Monsters Ball?
Monsters Ball, yes. Yes, fantastic.
Make me feel good.
Well, Pixar, which gave Disney those
hits, raining yellow,
says it's walked away from the negotiating after 10 months of locking horns with Disney over money.
Shock!
Quoting a Pixar spokesman, we're moving on. Pixar will now enter talks with Fox, Sony, and Warner Brothers for its future projects.
I'm sorry. I guess we will have to simply part company.
Look at Bonnie.
Walt Disney's dead. Roy Disney's out of a job. But Michael Eisner just got a 20% raise.
All right.
His pay package now totals $7.3 million.
Wow.
All this while Disney tries to cut a deal with the Federal Securities and Exchange Commission over charges it didn't disclose some transactions. And Disney earnings were up only 2.5% last year.
I thought we retired this.
Please don't.
We'll never retire this. Mr. Eisner, Smith here.
Hi, Smith. Smith, I'm very upset about this Pixar news. I'm stressed out. It's been a tremendous negotiation. Smith, I need your help.
Sir, I have a problem in Tomorrowland.
What's the problem? I have many problems on my plate, Smith.
There's a man named Jim Nance. He's leaning over one of the barricades, and, sir, I don't know how to put this politely, sir. I know that it's something you and I have done in the comfort of our boudoir, but, sir, he's... Well, let me put on Greg Gumbel. Greg?
It's raining yellow.
It's raining yellow, Smith.
Sir?
My hog is dripping, Smith.
I'm so turned on right now, sir.
Smith, come up to my office. I've got the hot tub filled with tapioca.
You know all the crap about Pixar, sir?
Yes. I'm very stressed out. I need you to give me a back rub.
Take it out of my rump, sir.
I will. Come up and grab the base of it.
Take out all your frustration for my rump roast.
Smith.
Yes, sir.
Get up to the office as soon as you can and wipe my drips. Thank you, Smith.
Do you want your pop? Your pot?
My dro pop.
Your dro? I forgot
the
name.
My hydroponically grown pot. Dro pop. My lollipop.
Hey, sir.
Yes, Smith.
How about that Janet Jackson tea?
Yeah, I loved it, Smith. You know that. I love me the Janet Jackson.
I thought it was disgusting. I thought of you the whole time.
That's right, Smith. Come up here and do me.
Smith out. Love you, sir.
Love you.
Smith and Eisner.
Goodbye.
Roy Disney, meanwhile, is taking his campaign to the streets. Roy, who co-founded the Disney Company with
his
brother Walt 50 years ago. Hi, Eisner.
Still here. It's drip time.
Roy, and don't forget the other Disney brother.
Yes.
Leroy.
Roy and Leroy.
Leroy Disney.
Oh, Leroy. Not Leroy.
Leroy.
Hello there.
Leroy.
Hey, Mr. Ivers.
How are you, Leroy?
I am pissed off.
Why is that, Leroy? What's the problem?
You got a thing against the black man, the white man, the yellow man, the red man. You keep all of us down.
No, Leroy, it's not true. I'm just cheap.
Lick it.
Thank you.
Eisner and Leroy.
Where my lollipop?
It's in my pocket. Come and get it.
Just plain Roy, who co-founded the company with his brother Walt 50 years ago, was recently squeezed out of the Disney board of directors. They didn't like all his talk about the faded quality of Disney products and the value.
Oh, this is Leroy Disney. Let me tell you, we're going to be making some changes at Disney World. This isn't a Roy Disney.
cartoon buddy Roy Disney.
The board didn't like Roy's talk about the value people once expected from all things Disney. Roy now runs a website called SaveDisney.com, and he appears at Disney memorabilia conventions, spreading the word about the evils of Eisner and getting standing ovations in the process.
Join me on my shizzle mizzle ride.
Especially when he talks about families getting their money's worth from Disney. The Disney board says Roy's accusations are untrue and unwarranted. Mr. Eisner has no comment.
Hey, Roy, I need you to help me with the final negotiations with Pick Sizzle.
Little Roy Disney, join me at Sprizzle Mountain.
And the firefighters who work for the local government known as Disney are up in arms. Mostly, these guys just save passengers from broken rides and treat people for heat stroke.
Hello, this is Mayor Leroy Disney. What in the problem?
But there are 142 of these firefighters at Disney World alone, and the government that employs them is as big or bigger than many towns in this country.
Leroy Disney, Daddy, I miss you so much. You adopted me, and now you're frozen.
Yeah, get yourself down to the haunted missile.
These guys have worked without a contract for 2 years. They're not happy about the wage and benefit proposals that have been made by management, and their union leaders say they've been harassed. Quoting 15-year veteran of the force, rather, other fire departments can petition the mayor, they can campaign or influence the election.
Brave soldiers, one and all, Dan Dion.
We don't have that opportunity here, but the firefighters are now going to their state lawmakers who set up the Disney government
for
in
those
Florida.
Those who serve Jim Nance with Leroy.
What up, honky?
How you doing? Thank you for joining us right here.
F you.
On CBizzle.
What is wrong with your hair?
I got a comb over.
Hello. Leroy Disney, yeah?
Buzz, yes.
What is next on your Shizzle News?
Coming up, Gray Davis goes after Arnold Schwarzenegger's old job.
Oh.
Okay, all right, stay tuned.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show. Don and Mike.
Yeah, my beach man. Here's Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Well, now that Arnold Schwarzenegger has Gray Davis's old job, Davis is going after Arnold's old job. The former California governor has taken up acting.
Oh, God.
Later, this is Arnold Schwarzenegger. This scene with the enlargement of the press was fantastic.
Okay, we've heard that a lot.
Fantastic.
Later this month, Gray Davis will play himself on an episode of Yes, Dear. Producer Greg Garcia, a former intern of the Don and Mike Show.
Right. Hey, we got a chance to chat with Michael O'Malley at the Super Bowl. Very, very nice guy.
He is a nice guy. Greg Garcia says he thought it would be funny to put in the show to have Gray Davis on. He says he was surprised the ex-governor agreed to a scene in which he goes nuts. Quoting another producer, here is the moment Gray Davis finally snaps. The scene was filmed over the weekend at the Staples Center with Yes, Dear featured players Jerry Van Dyke and Tim Conway.
Hey, there you go. Jerry Van Dyke.
I'm not going to get in that argument
with
you.
It's been a long time, hasn't it?
Dick Van Dyke versus Jerry Van Dyke.
Hello, old friend.
No argument. I think this story settles that. He survived.
I'll take that as a win from my side, Buzz.
Take it however you like. He survived being a...
Why, you? Hold on, let me ask.
No, I don't mean anything by it.
Listen, really.
I don't care.
No. Just take a stand.
I like it when our old feuds come back. It's fun.
Take our friendship out of it.
It's
take
a no-brainer.
Mike's friendship out of it. There will be no repercussions in your mind.
It's easy.
Who's funnier, Dick Van Dyke or Jerry?
I agree. No repercussions.
I like
but
Jerry.
Don't look at him in that tone of voice.
I like Jerry, but there's no question Dick Van Dyke has the most talent, the more talent of the two.
Who's funnier?
Dick Van Dyke, I think.
Oh, no.
Congratulations, Buzz. You've got another one of those lucrative one-day contracts.
Oh, goody.
And I'll see you in the parking garage.
All right. Boom. I look forward to it.
And what, are we making out again tonight? Don't be so rough with me. God damn, you want sex after the show all the time and always in the parking lot.
And I like it rough.
I know you do.
I bought a wedge cushion.
Mike gets me in the parking lot and he says... Come on, let's do it like it was B-106.
Wow. He survived being a
sack a long way.
Well, if you remember, when this radio station was known as...
They had a sex scandal at this radio station before we worked here.
Some of the top 40 DJs were dating their listeners, young teenage girls.
Yes, and not really paying attention to driver's licenses, of which there were none.
At B-106.
We check those now.
WB. Yeah, that was another Ken's great ideas. Call it when it was a jazz station, mm-hmm. call it WBMW because you would really be right. reaching those people that like jazz and listen and drive BMWs.
And moron, 15 of them. He survived being a sailor and a gladiator, but Russell Crowe got banged up playing a boxer. And it will delay for at least a month the release of Ron Howard's new movie, Cinderella Man. The Oscar-winning Crowe dislocated and injured his shoulder in the ring in Sydney, Australia. The 39-year-old movie bad boy will have to have... Have to have arthroscopic surgery to repair the damage. The movie co-stars Renee Zellweger.
He must have really committed those boxing scenes.
Apparently so.
All right.
Yeah.
Zellweger.
The Kobe Bryant case.
He was hitting Renee Zellweger.
Oh. Her name is Zellweger.
Zellweger.
She just wouldn't listen.
Zellweger. That is Renee Zellweger. Renee Zellweger. That's the girl that was in Bridget Jones' Diary. Yes, congratulations on your golden globe, Renee Zellweger. Step this way, please. How are you?
The Kobe Bryant trial is still months away, and already a book is coming out about the case.
Of course.
Where's Kobe Bryant? Bring him to me now. I think he's sleeping with Renee Zellweger.
He was ill today, didn't make it to court, but the author of Kobe Bryant, The Game of His Life, will be handing out copies at Kobe's next hearing. He says he co-wrote it with several other journalists who work together under a pen name. He's also including documents that may or may not be presented in court, including one that says Kobe took a very long time to answer the question, did the accuser at any time say no? The police document says that after several long pauses, Kobe said it was consensual. When the question was repeated, Kobe said no.
Where's Mrs. Blaine's box of capsules?
Exactly. What does that have to do with
it? I thought he might say no.
The book also points out that the accuser had sex with two other men around the time of the alleged rape, one before and one after her encounter with Kobe.
So he's too sick to go to the hearing today.
Couldn't make it today.
Couldn't make it on time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing that means he's out of the Lakers lineup, right?
Yeah, that's what. So.
If you don't show up in court, right. You got to. Oh, and I wish. Well, we couldn't play the tape. Somebody on the internet sent me an MP3 of the undeleted Shaq rave out about the refs.
Oh, really?
Cool. And you know how normally we goof on Shaq because his whole thing is, you know, what's up, dog?
Right.
You can't understand a word I'm saying. What's up, dog? He cut through Crystal with the clear. F-bomb.
Really?
I don't know how many times in this particular piece, maybe six or seven times, where it was just...
Where he's going nuts. This is recent?
Yesterday.
Right.
Whenever the Lakers last played. That the effing referees are calling the effing game against me, and I'm the only effing guy out there that gets fouls calling. I got effing guys pounding on me. I got effing guys beating me in the effing head. I don't give an F what the effing referees
say
about this.
You think we can
get it? Well, I've got it on my computer, yeah. But it's got all the F's.
Well, we just do the editing.
I'll bring it in tomorrow. We'll beep it down. It's
excellent.
Good.
Excellent.
It's maybe the best Shaq tape I've heard.
And we can add it to our sports collection.
Yeah, I'd like to hear it.
Well, where's the rest of our Shaq? Do we even have any Shaq tapes?
We got, I don't think we have any Shaq.
If you go over there, we might have him saying something. Robbie, look in the lower S's. It might be something about him, about baby's daddy or something.
Right.
Anyway. I'm sorry, I'm slowing the show down.
That's all right. In sports, the head of the FCC has ordered a thorough and swift investigation into the exposure of Janet Jackson's breast and nipple during the Super Bowl halftime show. FCC Chairman Michael Powell calls that show, quote, classless, crass, and deplorable.
Yeah, why don't you look into that, Powell?
And he says he's gotten scores of complaints about the incident. CBS, which earlier today distanced itself from the moment, is unavailable for comment on the FCC investigation. NFL Commissioner Paul Tagliabue says the incident was offensive and embarrassing, and he says he'll have more to say about this in the coming days.
Day.
Really?
It's chick, shoulder, boob.
You know, we got guys seriously planning to get on airplanes and right. Do crap. Right?
All of
Let's
America.
Let's pay attention to what really matters, mm-hmm. All right?
All of America's a titter over this.
Yeah, right. They are.
Really, we are. Come on, just let us enjoy this.
This is not going away.
We saw Janet Jackson's teeth. And her nipple during the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Whoop-de-doo.
That's what I said. Some other footnotes. Jackson's
you know
record company.
I think they're milking it.
For all they can.
Milking it for home.
Absolutely.
Janet Jackson's record company today, Virgin Records, released her new single a day earlier. It was due to come out tomorrow. They released it today to cash in on all this.
Coincidence? I think not.
And President Bush has had no comment on Janet Jackson incident because, according to the White House, he fell asleep before halftime.
Well, it just doesn't get any better than this.
No, it doesn't.
He didn't choke on a pretzel.
Someone should have woke him up for that.
Sure,
I would think if I'm the president and Janet Jackson...
Man, look at that.
Shows her teen on television?
Yeah. Look at those cans.
You got to have my Rob Lowe or whoever the guy is on the West Wing come and say, hey, George. Yo, George!
Wake up. At least they could have TiVo'd it.
Back up the TiVo, sure. Finally, a woman in Idaho...
He doesn't know how to run it.
I know.
The TiVo, he doesn't understand it.
Man, it's complicated.
Finally.
I know you're running out of time. We're running out of time, Buzz, but I really have to ask, for those of you who are TiVo people like we are, how many of you, even though I was watching the game in my cave with my wife, it was on in the other room where the TiVo is, how many of you who were watching it on and have TiVo backed it up to look at her teeth?
Oh, lots of
I'm telling you, we must have spent 20 minutes going back frame by frame, then moving ahead and moving back.
Andy, as good as what I brought you today, though.
No, it's not, Buzz. No, you brought the best picture of her teeth. And incidentally, also, we cannot put that on the on the CBS WAMK website.
Yeah, I knew that.
Right, because it's profane, they say.
Sure.
Finally, a woman in Idaho says she busted a tooth on a sugar-encrusted piece of corn and a box of Kellogg's Sugar Frosted Flakes, so she's suing Kellogg's, but she's got it easy compared to this. In Australia, a prison guard found the pubic hairs of an inmate in his chocolate pudding last week, and that was before he heard the inmates confess that the food they cook for guards often contains saliva and urine.
The critics love Snatch.
And is served on plates upon which the inmates have rubbed their genitals.
It's raining yellow in my soup.
Wow.
The prisoners say they've been doing this for some time. The prison had been using inmates instead of professional chefs as a cost-cutting measure.
Oh, man.
It's raining yellow.
I'm Buzz Burbank.
This chicken soup tastes... No! This chicken soup tastes like you're soaking in it.
That's not the best pudding I've ever had.
As it will say tomorrow. Good day to you, sir.
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 My radio buddies.
Hey, how about you, Leroy Disney?
Pudding.
Theometers.
When we meet again, Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.